Will the House come to order? We are We have a change in the order. Amendment number 39. 39 needs to slide down below number 41. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Proceed.
Thank you. Members, I just want to, as we return back now, and who knows how many hours. Frankly, I don't care. I just want to really express my appreciation. And you think about what's happened since this morning. So we've debated 30-some amendments. Many of them have been very close votes. It's been kind of cool. And whether you were on the 34 to 26 side or whatever the vote was, I think this whole thing that we do without limiting debate, you say, yeah, we should... I don't know. I think it's that's what the People's House does. And I tell you, we're going to stay here and just keep working. We'll debate. It's what we do in an open fashion, a fair fashion. And we'll probably have a lot of close votes. And, you know, it's the way it should be. It's pretty cool. It's the American experiment at its very finest. And so it's been a lot of history in this state. We got a lot of stuff to do. Hey, we're in the 21st century. And we're not, I just want us to keep this positive focus, keep trying to do the right thing and keep building. Let's keep having this really great debate that we've had all day long, and we'll go into however long it takes. So God bless you all and really appreciate you, and let's go back to work. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We're now considering Amendment 22. On House Bill Number 1. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment Number 22 to House Bill Number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. I'll try to keep this succinct. What this amendment does, I know it's spread over two pages, but it's found primarily on pages 32 and 33 of your budget bill. First of all, on page 32, it returns the appropriation found in footnote 5 to the governor's recommendation, which is the normal biennial appropriation for the Pioneer Home. And on line 11, it moves the date from 2019 to 2020, which is the regular end of the biennium. Secondly, on lines 13 through 16, it does the same for the Wyoming Retirement Center, where it restores $52,000 to fund them through the rest of their biennium as well. Then starting on page 32, line 20 through page 33, line 20, it deletes the entirety of footnote 7. And let me explain why. The entirety of that footnote is already a bill making its way through the process, so either the bill is unnecessary or the footnote is. Now, we normally would rather things like this come through, I believe, the bill-making process, as is happening right now, rather than try to pass a bill through the budget, especially when it's duplicative. And then lastly, on page 33, the amendment deletes footnotes 8 and 9, and the reason for that is these footnotes actually contradict the governor's recommendation. And they only fund these positions for half the biennium, and there's not really a need to do this. This is a vital issue up in the basin to the west of the Bighorn Mountains. And what this footnote does is it actually stops an unnecessary process. These communities are going to need time to work on these issues, and they need a parachute. And these footnotes instead comprise pushing them off a cliff. So what I'd like to do is just attach a few parachutes, give them some time to work on this thing. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for questions.
Any discussion? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the good representatives from the land of springs that are hot that where one of these facilities is, and for the good work that that facility provides, as well as a facility up closer to those other folks in the basin this big. He is correct that the executive branch declined this exception request, but we would submit to you, Joint Appropriations Committee would submit to you, that the Department of Health did make this request. And they're saying as part of their budget reductions that was to not fund these two facilities because the services that are provided there no longer meet the requirements that the Department of Health had. We've had quite a bit of discussion on that. So we decided to accept that exception request and fund it for this year. And then, as you recall, we've set aside some money in footnotes in the 300 section, that very first part in section 300, that going into the next supplemental budget, if these facilities, if we're not far enough along on how, if they can be privatized, if they can be run in another fashion, then we've got the money there to appropriate it. I appreciate the concern that, but I disagree that we're pushing them off a cliff. We have no intent to close, but we need, the Department of Health needs flexibility. If there are entities that want to come in and run these, there's really no need to fund put into the Department of Health's budget another year's worth of funding. So I would just ask the body to resist this amendment.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, this is, we've heard of this plan to close these facilities or to privatize these facilities. And we've heard testimony the other day, and we've had this discussion that, hey, we've been saying this for 4 or 5 years. But the simple fact is that we've studied this issue during that period of time. And in reports, there's been these recommendations, but it's never really been clearly put out there until now. And then it comes with us with a Senate file that just basically on its face says, we're going to sell, get rid of the facility. We go and we look in the budget. We've got 1 year of funding with the same similar language regarding this. Okay? We're told now that this doesn't fit the needs of the Department of Health. These are all very sudden realizations. The people in these areas, and these are two small communities we're talking about, are scared. They're extremely scared. And so I'm here to defend them. They're not my district, but they're in my neck of the woods. Now, let me just tell you something. I just want to speak at least to the retirement center, because these numbers should be very interesting to you. So we talk about the Wyoming Retirement Center, which is located in a small town that's the county seat for Bighorn County. 24-hour, 7-day-a-week facility, 95.5 jobs, 24-hour daycare for 80 patients. It's breaking even. You know what we see in here? We see an appropriation for $142,000 a year, which is just basically the major maintenance on that wonderful facility to keep it up to speed. Okay? What do they get into that community for that $142,000 of general fund appropriation? Well, I'll tell you what they get. They get well over $6.2 million a year in funding. That's funding that comes from either Medicaid or from private pay that is funding those 92 jobs in that very small community. $142,000 a year. It's a facility. It's full. Talk about economic development. Well, maybe we need to hold pace on some of what we've got going on in this state right now. Look, I understand when we talk in terms of is the initial mission of this doesn't exist. I do. But all I have to do is go back about 4 or 5 years. And our Medicaid reimbursement in this state was so low that we had the nursing home providers around the state were not taking in Medicaid patients because they couldn't break even. They had to have that balance, okay, with the private pay. People are taking their families out of the state because they couldn't get them in on a Medicaid. Now, the good representative, who is my very good friend and my opponent on this particular issue, him and I worked hard for that recalibration and got some more money brought into that and helped change that around. But that was a difficult fight, and these things go in stair steps. So you really want to talk about a safety net. A safety net is we have a facility in this state that would be able to accept Medicaid patients when we're tightening up our purse strings and can't always recalibrate to help the other entities operate at a profit. So at the very least, is fund these through this biennium. I'm certain these communities, and I've been communicating back with hundreds of people, that, hey, we need to look to the future on this. If privatization is where we go in the future, that's fine. But I'm telling you right now, the folks in these communities are just now realizing the situation that they're in. They don't read the reports that we get. They don't always listen and hear what we're doing on this floor. This is now the time it's hitting them right between the eyes. So all that the sponsor of this amendment is doing is asking for full funding through the 2 years while we work through these issues. And again, think about those numbers I'm telling you about in those communities, in those peoples, in those facilities. So I'd ask for your aye vote on this amendment.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So is there a need with the previous speaker's testimony, I guess, is there a need and are there funds built into this for another study, or will if this is funded for the full biennium, if these two facilities, is that enough movement to look at privatization? My fear of privatization, I don't think anybody wants those people displaced. So in a sale agreement, there'd need to be some restrictions and covenants in the sale agreement down in the future, if that's the direction, that we're not displacing folks. And a private company would be crazy to get rid of these employees in those two locations. But so I think I believe I am in favor of the amendment. I think we need to proceed with caution. And hopefully if we fund this for the next biennium, we can work through these issues. And I don't know of the past, but certainly there's been good discussion over what's happened in the past. So I'd urge an aye vote.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Is it day 20 yet? Because it seems like it. Oh, golly. You know, I have such respect for this Appropriations Committee and the work that they've done, but I got to tell you, this is a gut punch to these communities. And I want you to just think a minute about your community and where you come from. And I don't know if you've traversed lately through the Bighorn Basin, but there's not a whole lot going on in these two communities. And I know that we should not be in the state in the business of providing these services. I get that we're changing course. But we're just asking for a little more time, because this is home for a lot of these residents who they sold all their possessions, and this is home. And they have support networks there, and not for nothing, these are jobs. These are vital jobs to these communities and to our tax structure. And you know what the ripple effect is in these communities. One lost job, that's a big impact at our local grocery store, at our co-op, at the hardware store, at the little mom and pops on our very small little main streets. I know there comes a time when we have to just cut things off, but we're just asking, we're just begging for a little more time to allow these communities to group up and make some much-needed changes, obviously. Anyway, just asking for a little help. Thanks for your time.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had to get up and talk so you guys could all listen to my voice after eating that big old dinner. So thank you to them, and you're welcome to hear me again. I'm going to be on and in favor of this, and for one simple reason. It's easier to have the money and revert it back if we don't need it than it is to go back and ask for it when we actually need it. Please vote aye for this.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, ladies and gentlemen, literally, I was in both of these towns 5 years ago. And when 5 years ago, there were several folks who wanted to take over one of these facilities then and privatize it. And we all thought it was a good idea, and we asked the community to work in that direction, and nothing happened. And to this day, nothing seems to happen. So we just passed through this House body already, only funding the entire Department of Health for 1 year, because we want to be careful and make sure that things move in the right direction. And I would submit to you that only funding these two facilities is simply asking them to take this seriously, to report back to us next year. If we don't, it won't move as fast. It just won't get done. And that's the nature of the beast. And, you know, the biggest problem at the end of the day is if you privatize one of these, those employees may not be state employees anymore. They lose their retirement. They may even have a drop in pay. And those facilities and those communities will fight tooth and nail for that not to happen as well. So we're going to fight this battle. And frankly, it is a very tough thing for those communities. And it will be at the end of the day. But the last thing we want to do is lose them. We want to assist them. We want to walk them up to the path. And we've been doing that. And this is the first time that we've said, okay, we've asked you. And now we're going to ask you a little bit harder. But if we just fund it for two more years, I will bet you we're going to be back here doing the same thing one more time, and then another time, and then another time. And so we want to help them. We want to do everything we can to facilitate it and keep those employees. And I think this is the way that we actually move this thing forward.
Representative Crank.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know. I'm from a small town. I think all small towns in Wyoming are facing the same dilemma. And anything we can do to help keep jobs in these small towns for at least a little bit till we weather the storm, I think, is a way I would like to see us go. So I'm on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 64th, we're really good at firing shots across the bow of agencies, and now we're fired one across the bow of two small towns in the Bighorn Basin. And, you know, the only way I can equate that is that if you were to close a school in your town, think of what that would do to the town. The town would not dry up, but it would change dramatically. And so, therefore, I stand on and in favor of this amendment.
So is there anyone else who would like to speak on this amendment for the first time? Representative Sweeney. Oops, Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, if I can get my stuff together here. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide the amendment, Division 1 being lines 1 through 36 on page 1 to lines 1 through 10 on page 2, or line 1 through 10 on page 2. So, and then lines 11 through 13 being the lines 11 through 13 being Division 2. that's divisible. And I'd like to start with division 2, which is lines 11 through 13, 14.
Appears that it's divisible. We'll proceed with considering division number 2, lines 11 through 13.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think what I heard from the good representative, well, several good representatives, is let's leave the funding in it, but shall we take a look at this? And so really what 11 through 13, if you go to your budget bill on page 32, and you go to line 18, and or line 20, excuse me, you see the start of this, which, and I'll just read what 7A says. Concerning both the retirement center and the Pioneer Home, the Department of Health shall report to the Joint Labor and Health, and then it goes down through Romanet I, whether each facility separately continues to serve as necessary means, whether, and then on to page 33, whether each facility separately serves as a necessary part. Romanet 3, whether the services provided at each facility are otherwise available, a plan for partial or complete transition, and 5, any department action or recommendation for facilities subject to this footnote. So what this division would do would allow a study to continue, and then you all can decide on, well, we'll all decide on both of them, but I think if we want to fund the two, this is an option. If we'd like to fund both of these facilities for 2 years, but then actually take a look long-term at where we want to go, this provides that. So I would urge your defeat of Division 2 and leave the study in place.
Any other discussion? Just Representative Winters. We're discussing division number 2, lines 11, 12, and 13. Chairman or Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, as I listen to the representatives moving to the mics, I see a pattern, and the pattern is those representatives who actually represent the people directly, who this budget seeks to affect the greatest, and who this amendment in turn would affect the greatest. And I don't know about you, but it's pretty easy for me to sit here in Cheyenne, far away from that area and those constituents, and make a decision based on paper, but it's a lot harder to make that decision, I'm sure, for those representatives who represent those people directly. And I think we have an obligation to listen to our fellow representatives who represent these individuals, who know them, who know their faces, who know that these 113 people across two facilities are going to be affected, who know the jobs that are going to be affected. And I think if we listen to them, we can make a prudent decision for the state of Wyoming. We're not making a decision to fund these facilities indefinitely. I think most of us agree that it is time for those communities to figure out how to run these facilities. And maybe that means that an organization comes in and runs it. But there's a difference between having an exit strategy and simply cutting the funding and forcing the hands of the organizations to come in that aren't even there. The study hasn't been done. That's what the second division or the first division calls for, the study. The study hasn't even been done. We need the study. We need the organization lined up. We need it bid out. We need everything in place before we cut the funding with 113 people across facilities and jobs that we have no idea the full impact of, because that's not our community. So I urge you, representatives, listen to those folks who actually represent the individuals in these communities and vote aye on both amendments.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw the amendment because it's not divisible the way I cut it. So you'll be back on the original.
Very good.
Amendment.
We are now back on the amendment. Amendment number 22. Is there anyone who would like to speak on amendment number 22 who has not spoken so far? Seeing none, would anyone like to speak on the, for the second time on amendment number 22? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and folks, we have talked about that. I just think that it's important to understand that when we, if there's a concern that we don't have a study, then why would you take this study out? There has actually been a study, and it's been going on for about 4 years, but if you're concerned that we haven't had a study, then why would you remove Section 7? That's an important point, and that's kind of, I think, what my good companion was trying to do. I appreciate and the concerns that we have from up in the basin. We're not arguing that if things are not in place at the end of this fiscal year, that we'll fund both facilities the next year. I don't think that that's an argument. And that's all I have to say.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to proceed very fast here by asking you to proceed very slow. And the reason for that is because in the end, not only are these two small towns, these are some elderly folks in two places that I represent, and these are their homes. And we need to show them that we care, and I would really appreciate your approval of this amendment. Please vote aye.
Question having been heard, we are now proceeding to vote on amendment number 22, House Bill number 1. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
The ayes have it. Chief Clerk, please call the roll on amendment number 22.
Amendment 22, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Bightman. Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
No. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stiff.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 49 aye. 11 no.
Amendment number 22 passes. We're now considering Amendment 23 of House Bill Number 1. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Amendment 23. I move Amendment 23 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This funding goes to the Behavioral Health Department. And it is a two-year funding bill. This will bring funding pretty close to the full amount suggested by the consultant Navigant when they did the rebasing report for the community service providers and the comprehensive waiver programs. This serves the people in our communities with developmental disabilities. Our providers are operating on razor-thin margins or at a loss as they serve their neighbors in their home communities. Providers are finding it difficult to hire and retain direct service personnel due to the low wages they must offer after years of insufficient reimbursements. And providing these services is hard. It's a hard job. Just on the subject of salaries for direct service personnel, DSPs are being paid about $10 to $11 an hour. Navigant, the consultant hired to do the rebasing, finds that the wage should be in the $13 to $14 an hour range. I don't think anyone in this chamber questions the value of serving our disabled in their own communities by these dedicated providers. This amendment would bring the funds to the comprehensive waivers, funds recommended by the rebasing consultant. Combined with the $2 million state and $2 million federal already in the budget, passing this amendment will fund the comprehensive waiver programs to a level that will allow our providers to continue serving our most vulnerable friends and neighbors in their communities. The amendment requests $7,500 of general funds, and which will be matched by $7,500 of federal funds. So I ask for your aye vote and make these providers whole, keep these services in our communities, and truly help the most vulnerable, the least among us. That is the proper role of government. And I ask for your aye vote.
Any other member? First time, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And if I may, it once again, we just... Let's step back just a second, make sure that our information is correct. If you look at your footnote number, if you look at on your cheat sheet number 14, you will see that we add in $4 million general funds this year, matched by $4 million federal funds. That equates to $8 million this year, not the $2 million that was mentioned by the previous speaker. That's important as we calculate how much more we're going to put in. So then if we add an additional, and let's think about funds we've been trying to work with here, then we add another $7.5 million on each side. That indeed has them up to what the consultant's suggestion was $11.5 million. That's nice, and that would be good. And I'm not arguing that that isn't where we should get to. But I think that we need to maybe do that over a couple of bienniums and make sure that the stability of our budget is okay. I think that we've heard from the good presenter of this amendment that many of these facilities are on razor-thin margins. That's very nice to hear, but I don't see any handouts or any indication showing us that the accuracy of that claim. I think when we're talking this kind of money, I think that we need to make sure that it's accurate. I will tell you one of the concerns I have as we fund some of these, and I've been a strong proponent over the years, if you've been served with me, I've been a very strong proponent of the DD waiver, and they're important for the state to have because they will keep people from being in a state-run facility.
But the business models vary greatly on these providers around the state. And I think that we're at the point that we need to kind of call time out and look at how some of these business models are run before we just continue to fund them. I think that the provider that or in the western part of the state does, I think that we have several that do very good jobs. But we know that there's some that have been in very strapped, and when the Department of Health was charged with looking at them, we found some real challenges in their business plan. And so I think that before we put a lot of extra money in there, we ought to make sure that there's a little bit of accountability with how their business plan runs. I would really encourage you to resist putting this money in at this time. I think my time here, we haven't put $4 million in, $8 million in one biennium. And I was trying to remember what we put in last year, but I think that equated to about $6 million. And I could be wrong. I'll get those figures accurate. And then the year before we put some in, we know that we had underfunded. But I think that we're getting there, and our intent is to get there. And I would just encourage you to resist this amendment.
Representative Clanton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll keep this brief. I think Shakespeare said brevity is the soul of wit. So, you know, I am, you've heard me, I'm all for balancing the budget, cutting the budget, cutting the size of our government workforce. On the same token here, the government has a responsibility to the most helpless among us and to the disabled. And it seems that we are trying to make dramatic cuts to the disabled and the most helpless among us. And that has been recognized by our votes, as well as what this budget speaks of. And it's disappointing, to say the least. So on and for this amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, just a question, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. I just want to know if this program, taking the federal money, it has a maintenance of effort qualification in it, like it does for preschools, developmental preschools.
Members, first time. Chairman Barlow.
First for a second, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, thank you. Any other members? First time. Okay, we're moving to second time. Okay, no, go ahead, Doc. Representative Hallinan, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. The study that we talked about, or was mentioned in my colleague's presentation from Navigant, is geared towards July of 2019. The wages that they anticipate will be paid at that time. It's based on estimates based on times of inflation and the amount of money that's going to be required to pay for health insurance and other issues that are affecting these employees. So I think if we're talking about a couple of bienniums in order to equal what we believe is going to be due on July 2019, we'll be about 4 years behind. And I don't think that these organizations can continue to function with 2019's wages. Therefore, I am for this amendment. I think these are the most helpless people in our society, and we do have a responsibility towards them. So I think that we need this amendment to meet that responsibility, and I urge your yes vote on it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. And, folks, I just want us to think about this. We've heard a lot of discussion about not raising taxes and trimming state government. And I know then we turn around and we say we don't want to harm the most helpless. And that's true. We don't. But the reality is like something about three-quarters of our state budget is children and people with disabilities and seniors and people in prison and people suffering from mental health problems. So you just need to carefully think that we are not going to be able to fund all of the services that we want to fund just by scraping it up out of, like, a change in the motor vehicle pool or canceling of some cultural grant. I think we all need to be realistic. Someone from one of the agencies said a couple of weeks ago, we talk about smaller government, and this is what smaller government looks like. If we don't actually like the way it looks, then I think we need to face up, and maybe we ought to have admitted some of those revenue enhancers. But we can't really have it both ways, folks. And painful as it is, I know we all want to serve and be nice to everybody, and I do too. But serving on appropriations, you have to realize, we realize that the math doesn't add up. So if you're going to vote for all these amendments, there's not a lot of places for it to come from. You know, it's going to be from the rainy day fund, or next session we'll have to raise taxes. Just consider that before you vote.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, folks, this is what it looks like to prioritize the budget. So if we want to prioritize the least of these, this is how we do it, and we can cut in some other areas. Thank you.
Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On for the amendment and reserving my second.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, so this is the second study that's been done since for the last 7 years, and actually it goes back even further than that. And when they had the first study, we incrementally, for the first 3 years, I believe, we didn't fund any of it. And we didn't fund it because we didn't have money. And then for about two or three consecutive years, we added some more at a time with the understanding then that we'd go get another study. And I would just represent to you that the study was kind of preordained. We knew what the number was because it was going to be $13.50 an hour. And we're going to try our best to get those folks up to there. But we don't have to paddle off the cliff and fund this thing at a full rate. We'll get there. We'll take care of these kids. And, I've visited a lot of these facilities. In fact, my son has probably lived at three of them. And they do a wonderful thing to the community. But the idea that that we can't do this on an incremental basis and we throw our emotions kind of up in the wind because we got a study that says we got to pay him $11.5 million to have it matched. I'm just quite honestly that we know that there's some fluff there. We know because that's the way the study was kind of crafted and what the question was when they asked for it. So I would just respectfully say that we'll get there. We'll take care of these kids and on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Seeing none. Moving to our second time, any members for the second time? For the sponsor, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess my first question back to you is, where's the cut? We heard from one individual that we're cutting. We're not. We're putting $8 million into the program. That's what we've appropriated this year. We put $5 million in last year. 2.5 federal funds, 2.5 general funds. So I think we need to be careful that we're not cutting these programs. There is, the good chairman asked if there is a maintenance of effort. There is not. Each time you change the waiver, you have to make an application into CMS and get their blessing on it. That's a pretty common thing. We hear that the facilities can't continue to run. Again, I don't know that we have the data to show that that's an accurate statement. We
We think that the study is good, and we think that we need to fund it. But just where are they in each of their financial situations? I can't answer that. And I don't know that, but I do agree that this study would suggest, and we agree with it, to fund it. I agree with the good representative from here in the capital city, is that as we do try to prioritize, is that you add this in. This is ongoing funding. This is not a one-time deal. It will be ongoing, and at this point, it'll have a significant impact on the rainy day account or one or the other. So I would really encourage you to resist this amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we balk. We balk when we talk about actually possibly making our state employees pay more for their health insurance. How would you like to work in a place where you're taking care of DD patients where you have no health insurance? Because that's where many of these providers are right now. They've had to make cuts and make cuts and make cuts just so they can keep their doors open to provide for these DD individuals. And by the way, if they do go belly up, if they say, you know what, we can't do that, then what are we going to do as a state? What are we going to do with all these DD individuals? We can ship them out of state, but that's going to cost us way more. So again, it's one of those things. What do? Do you pay for it now, or do you just say, you know what? We'll take care of you on later on. We're going to kick the can down the road. We'll give you a little bit just to get by, and they're still scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to survive. How do you think that's going to play out for their workforce? You think they're really looking at, think about their turnover? Think it's good for them? What are we growing? Are we growing the private industry? Are we growing government? Vote aye.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm going to bring a little different perspective to this discussion because I was part of the process that was conducted over this past interim. And while it was referenced that there was a consulting firm that did the work was guided by two committees. One was a provider committee, and one was a steering committee, and on that steering committee, there were two legislators representing, one from each body. I was the one from this body. I was a guest of that agency which oversees this program. So we were part of the process, at least I was, and I believed I was, I could bring information to the body. So first of all, I want to outline what the process is with the developmentally disabled waiver program. Is in our statute, and I don't have the citation at the moment, but in our statute, we rebase every 4 years, but not less than every 2 years. So 2 years ago, we went through a process of rebasing, and the committee that I serve on, and at the time, the committee that the good JAC member was on, we did not like the work that was done on the rebasing. We did not feel it reflected the true costs of delivering services to this population. And we rejected it. So that's not good enough. Now, to the credit of our JAC, and it was spoken about by both the chairman and by the member that spoke, JAC, they said, well, we know we're getting behind, so they put money there. Thank you. Last year, again, we didn't have a rebasing study. We didn't know the basis which to make have a discussion on. Again, they put money there. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this past interim, the work was done. And my participation in the work was, obviously, it was a big team. Providers from all across the state were involved. There was a person from the other end of the hallway was there. We had a lot of meetings. I can't remember. I don't know how many I attended, probably half a dozen in 3 months, 4 months, several by phone call, several in person. The providers met, I think, probably on a couple time a month basis, trying to get good information on what it was costing them to provide services. So we're doing the process. We're looking at it. Now it's our responsibility to take that information, this body to take information and make a good decision, make the best decision we can. So I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, it's been mentioned several times about facilities. Well, folks, a lot there are facilities. There are larger entities providing services in these communities. And I have a breakdown. We can go through the numbers and how many hundreds are here and there and et cetera. But a lot of folks are getting services in homes. They're being provided services one-on-one in somebody's home or two or three. They're not all in this group setting. There are, some of them are. 50 probably percent are, but a lot are in individual settings. So we're not all talking about a mega corporation or a mega type entity that's dealing with this. A lot of them is in, they're all in your communities, by the way. Every community here, I would argue, has somebody receiving services through this waiver. Two waiver programs, actually, comprehensive and supports. So it's not all big facilities or organizations. And we talk about there was a concern about how are they running? Well, they're not going to be running well if we underfund them and they go broke. So if we want to talk about how they're run and we want to have a discussion about their business model, that's a different issue, I believe. If we want to talk about what we have now and providing those services and funding them appropriately, that is what's before us. And that's what this amendment does. Now, the couple biennium thing, folks, we're always about a biennium behind. The effort of the steering committee with the dollars that were recommended and the Navigant study supported, we cut dollars everywhere we could. Some big dollars, some little dollars. But there's one thing you cannot take away. Who provides the services? Those direct care workers. Those folks they're the troops on the ground. That's who's giving these services to folks. And if we're going to have a turnover, and many of these organizations said our turnover is 100% annually. Everybody leaves at that basic level. We've got to do something better. The good representative from my country said they're not providing, a lot of them can't provide benefits because they're just, it's just outside their realm. So what we did, what the steering committee did, and what I, when I looked at this, I said is, I don't want to fund this a year at a time, like we've been kind of doing. Actually, I want to fund it for the full 4 years. I want to get ahead of the curve just a little bit. And my commitment to this body, if I'm still a part of this body, is you won't hear me asking for more funds in 4 years unless it's justified through rebasing. Justified through rebasing. Because that's where we are. But I do think we ought to hit the average of where 4 years are. And I would argue the dollar amounts in this amendment that the good representative bought gets us to that place. It's based, I think, on robust information. It's based on a timely information. And while I do think and appreciate what's been done up to here, folks, this is taking a four-year step, in my view, building a foundation, a solid foundation, catching up, I would argue, to 2 years from now, and I think we can extend that to four, and this is the way we should proceed. So I would ask you to accept this and resist any attempts on third reading to adjust it or mod it or stair-step it or anything else. Let's just take the step we need now, and those of you here in 4 years, you'll say that was a good thing. We haven't had to deal with this. Now we have another solid foundation we can look forward from. So I would vote aye on the amendment, and thank you very much.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time for the sponsor. Okay, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't add much to the previous speakers, but I will repeat that in, quote, a couple of bienniums, we will have fewer community service providers. And you have to remember, where did the notion of community service providers come from? It came from the big court on the East Coast to deinstitutionalize these people, to bring them out of the institution and into the community. This is the threat that's facing these adults and these children. If these community service providers are not made whole, institutionalization in the 21st century? We can't. We just can't let that happen. This is where a state shows its priorities. The least among us, the most vulnerable, should be our number one priority as a state. Please vote aye on this amendment, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. We are voting now on amendment number 23. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The ayes have it. This amendment raises as an increase in the general fund, a roll call is required.
Amendment 23, Allen.
No.
No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Bightman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
No.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
Gray.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Allen, no, no to aye. Zwanitzer, no to aye. Olson, no to aye. Larson Dan, no to aye. Furphy, no to aye. Obermuller, oh, no to aye. Stith, no to aye. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 43 aye. 17 no.
Having received an affirmative vote of the majority of those elected, amendment number 23 is passed. Just a pause. I wanted to recognize our very newest representative who did a great job in the chair. Representative Simpson, great job. We are now on amendment number 24, Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 24 to House Bill number 1. And it's kind of a weird page right here. it's a policy aspect because it is set in our statutes that we define this every 2 years in our biennium budget. So what we're looking at, folks, is our supplemental, essentially Social Security. The state provides this at, and if you turn to your budget books, you'll see it's about $25 a month, $25 to $30 a month per individual. So it doesn't seem like a whole lot. But there's enough individuals in this. If you look at the budget amendment, it's a savings about $1.1 million. So where do we get the statutory authority for this? Well, if you turn to 422103 and go down to D, about halfway through that paragraph, it says, the monthly payment under this subsection shall be established by the legislature within the Department of Family Services biennial budget appropriation.
which shall not be less than the required payment under applicable federal law. Currently, there is no applicable federal law for a minimum requirement. This is kind of a tough one. I get it. However, this is $25 a month going to these individuals. We're not keeping them afloat here. They've got the SNAP program. They've got the Wyoming Power program. They've got the Supplemental Nutrition program, and the list goes on. So this one pulling back, we can save $1.1 million, maybe make up for what we just spent a little bit right here. And I'm getting a lot of head shaking, so I'm going to stop and stand for questions. Any other members? I'll make sure I got the right budget here. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, seriously, we're going to take $25 a month from poor people who only have $700 a month. I have a much better idea on third reading, which is all that hemp farming stuff, which is surely not a priority. But vote no on this one.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Well, here's the difference between the last amendment we've done in this amendment that has me most concerned is that, and the good representative's right, it's not required federally anymore. Is it a discussion that we maybe should have? I think that that's probably right. But I think that those people who receive these payments should have some say and should have an opportunity to express the impact that would have in their lives, whereas those that we talked about in the last one perhaps don't have that ability as well. But those who receive this really do, and I think that's part of the process that I think is in error with disposing of this program now. I think if one of the committees would like to have and discuss that and have some comment from that would be appropriate, and then maybe we can address that if we find that it's really not needed. But until we know that, I think that it's probably makes me a little uncomfortable to do that. So I would too suggest that we defeat this amendment.
Any other members? First time, second time for the sponsor. To the sponsor, Representative Lindholm.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So what we've heard is something about hemp farming, both the statutory requirements, just like this is a statutory requirement, that we actually look at this during our biennium budget. It's a requirement that we actually do this and have this conversation during our biennium budget. So if nobody was reached out to about this funding, that's our JAC's job. We're here to set the funding. Okay? So while this is hard, and while this might not be a priority to look at for some, it is in statute that the legislature shall look at this during our biennium budget. So what I'm going to ask is an aye vote, and if you've got a problem with that, then you come back in the third one, and we can have the conversation again, and we can adjust it from there. And I don't think that's too much to ask. This is a tough one. I get it, so I understand the no votes too. Anyways, vote aye.
We're voting on Amendment number 24. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment number 24 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration is number 25, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry, I apologize for the delay. Move House Bill 1, second reading, amendment number 25, and ask for your favorable consideration. This is really just a technical amendment. After the motion was made in JAC, it was slightly miswritten, and all this does is add BOCES and group homes to the beds that cannot be cut, in addition to crisis shelter beds and residential treatment center beds. This was the original intent of the motion that was passed by JAC, so I ask for your favorable consideration. I might add it makes no change in the budget.
Any members for your first time? Question being called. All those in favor of amendment number 25, please say aye. Opposed, say no. Amendment number 25 has been adopted. Next amendment for our consideration is number 26, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This also has zero impact on the budget, but it's a footnote that we thought needed to be inserted into House Bill 1. So I move Amendment 26 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Basically, this adds a footnote. For the period beginning July 1st, 2018, and ending June 30th, 2020, our biennium, the department shall not expend funds from this appropriation to support the overall capacity of residential treatment and group home beds in excess of the combined number of certified beds on January 1st, 2018. Now, in English, presently and historically, we have more capacity available in group homes and residential treatment centers than there are placements. There are spaces available in various programs, thus providing options for choice of treatment and incentive for programs to provide quality and efficient programming. A majority of providers within Wyoming are community-based, private, nonprofits that have a long and positive history within their communities, both in terms of providing service and also employment, and in receiving private and public community financial support. Placements and thus per diem payments to residential treatment centers have been reduced by 25% in the last 2 years. The department that services families receives frequent inquiries from individuals and corporations regarding the process of opening and licensing new group home or residential treatment center facilities. Large for-profit corporations that have more obligations to its shareholders than the local communities or the state could open a large enough facility and operate at enough of a loss that they could further reduce placements and thus payments to the community-based nonprofits to the point where they would be forced to close. So I urge your aye vote on this amendment. Again, we keep these services in our communities. And if you look at the map that we were given at breakfast the other morning, the centers are all over the state. And this is the way it should be, to serve people in crisis or in treatment in their communities. And I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Representative Larson Lloyd.
So we're putting the cap on the number of beds that we have in these group homes. And what we've heard is, nonprofit is walks on water, corporations bad. We don't like corporations. They come in and they do evil things. Earlier in the day, what we heard was that we need kind of just the opposite. And so what we're doing is we're putting a protection on these beds. So somebody else that wants to come in, maybe somebody that's one of our kids from here, graduated from over the hill, and they go out and they've got a new business model for one of these residential homes. And worse is they might be for profit. They might be a corporation. And we would allow them to come in and open a new facility that might provide a new way. We're protecting these beds, folks, just so you know. And if that's what you want to do, you know, do that. But I would really encourage you not to. We've had a practice not to put a cap on these beds. We lifted the cap on hospitals. We've had that argument several times in this body. We've kept the cap on long-term care beds. That's been an argument, pros and cons back and forth, and we've had never had a cap on these, and I encourage you not to do so now. So please resist this amendment.
Anyone else? First time. Oh, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, I think that the fine representative from the district adjacent to mine basically took this from tea to green. But I would just like to add that really what's important here is quality of service that is provided. And for that reason, I am in support of this amendment and urge a yes vote on this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Barlow.
First for a second, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Seeing none. Moving to second time. Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Any takers for second time before the Chairman Barlow?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, ladies and gentlemen, this actually has been something that's been done before, and it's been done through this same instrument, the budget bill. And so when we're talking about, I don't think there's any good and bad in this thing. What we're really trying to do is ensure that the services of the in the communities that we have that are already there have some ability to continue. So if we're going to go into another model, we've heard about models before, let's have a transition type plan. We still have a cap on those long-term care beds. That's statutory. We use this as a way to I don't know if protect's the right word, but it certainly is that we need these services in our communities, not shipping people across the state or, worse, out of state. And that's what we don't want to see driven, but and this is what hopefully protect from that. So I would urge your support of this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the second time for the sponsor? Seeing none, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Corporations aren't bad. No one said they were. But we have in the center of the state a corporation that is shipping our children out of state when they're in crisis. I think we all agree that we want these kids as close to home as possible when there is a crisis. This doesn't prohibit corporations coming in. If a corporation wants to come in, that's fine. All we're saying is that no appropriation to support the overall capacity. That's all this bill calls for. So I urge your aye vote. Keep our community service treatment centers open. And please vote aye. Thank you.
We're voting on amendment number 26. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment number 26 has been adopted. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Members, while we're counting, this is, of course, for an amendment. It's members present. Noes. Amendment has been adopted. We are now on amendment number 27. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move House Bill Amendment to number 27 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable approval. We provided the Department of Family Services funding to get through this year. I think it's around $5 million, if my memory is correct. Just in the time that JAC has met and we prepared this budget, Department of Family Services come to us and says that they are concerned that that $5 million is going to be adequate to get them through this year, and suggested that they have the flexibility to use some other funds in the event that the $5 million isn't. And what this bill does is we also allowed them, we appropriated funds to finish the Wyoming eligibility system, integration, child care, that system, and they could use, because that those funds would be spent over a period of time, over a couple of years, and they would have access to that money in the event that they were short this year. So that's, there it is, folks.
Anyone else for their first time? Any members want to speak on this for the first time? Seeing none, question being called. All those in favor of amendment number 27, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. That amendment has been adopted. We are now on amendment number 59. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to respectfully withdraw amendment 59 while I get some more information.
Well, amendment 59 is enthusiastically withdrawn. We're now on amendment number 28, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully move House, got you all. Amendment 28, and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this is, if you take a look at your budget, this is kind of an interesting one, to say the least. I've been looking at the budget now for the past 6 to 8 years and never seen anything quite this obvious. But this just removes a $36,000 fireworks display in Campbell County, as it's labeled out in there. So I'm going to say that we don't need to be state funding a fireworks display in the land of the camels. With that, I'll stand for any questions.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm a freshman, and I've seen far less than you all experienced people, but this is incredible. I don't think this takes a lot. I totally support this amendment. I hope you will, too. Considering all the arguments and the wrenching votes that we've had to take, this would seem rather simple. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Question being called. Second time as a sponsor? No? Okay. Question being called. We're voting on amendment number 28. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Yes. Amendment number 28 has been adopted. We're now on amendment number 29. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 29 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is tourism, and this is the number two industry in Wyoming. $3.5 billion in economic output. It generates $186 million in tax revenue. And we've had over 4 million visitors to that number one national park up in the northwest corner of the state. If we wish to continue to have this kind of people involved in our state, we need to continue to basically advertise. We don't advertise next door because, well, there's not that many people next door. So we advertise on the coast, and that's where we're targeting this to. So I ask for your favorable recommendations on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. The JC looked at this. This was their recommendation. You know, it was just stated that the tourism raised $186 million in tax revenue. And I was kind of hoping for it to raise $198 million in tax revenue. We wouldn't be having this discussion. So I'm going to go ahead and just vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd urge a no vote on this. These sorts of amendments, I just don't understand. Like, what is the bright line? When does it ever stop? I don't understand how you get the sum. And I just don't understand where it stops, how this is a necessary role in our budget. So I'd urge a no vote. Thank you.
Chairman Mann.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had this topic on our interim this time, and we had testimony after testimony in connection with the leisure and hospitality tax. And, you know, one of their driving forces, I guess, in this effort was to try to get more dollars. This is less dollars here, but they wanted to get more dollars because we're getting swamped, particularly by our neighbor to the north, who is, they have had such success in their extra advertising that they've convinced, I think they said, a majority of people that they surveyed to think that the park that's located in our state in the extreme northwest corner really is in Montana, or in that state in the north. Yep. So, you know, we've got more to sell. We've got more amenities when it comes to the tourist industry, but we spend less than almost anybody around us, less than people to the south, to the east, to the Rushmore State, the north. And to cut this $2,223,000 out of the budget just didn't make sense at all to me. So I urge you to support this amendment.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Responding to all my colleagues who are calling for smaller government, after voting for that last $7.5 million increase, I feel obligated to vote no on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Schwartz.
First for a second, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, in opposition to this, can't think of another industry that has the state pay for their advertising fees for them. I don't think it's the proper role of the state to be the marketing wing of the tourism industry. I think they can pool their money together if they see fit to do this. So I would urge a no vote on this and save a couple million dollars. Thank you.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment, this $2 million needs return to the budget. It was, I'm not quite sure why it was cut. I think I know, but this needs to go back in. The role of tourism, the Office of Tourism, is to get them internationally and domestically to our borders. And yes, private business is advertising probably at least as much, both internationally and domestically, as what the state is. I'll remind you again, it's the second largest employer, over 32,000 jobs, and it does produce $186 million, which with the return of the $2 million, we'll hopefully get it up closer to $200 million as somebody desired. So I would really urge your vote on this to the yes and return this to the Division of Tourism.
Representative Larson, Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we've had, as a body, as we've talked about how to address shortfalls and how to take care of industries like that, we really had an opportunity to have out-of-state people pay for this $2 million. We could have done that with a lodging tax, but we've elected to kind of table that and not do anything, and we want to continue to put a strain on our general fund dollars, put a strain on our savings account. I would suggest that we avoid this amendment, vote no against it, vote no against the guy that brought it, vote no against it, and let's consider about how we can raise these funds otherwise to support that industry. Thank you.
Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'll just remind the body that the leisure and hospitality industry came to the Joint Revenue Committee and they wanted to tax themselves to fund tourism. And guess what? We voted it down. So we can't have it both ways. We won't let them tax themselves, and then we take money away from the tourism department. So I'm in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Short and sweet. For every dollar that's spent, guys, we get an economic benefit of $8.50. So this $2 here is going to somewhere in the range of $15 million. So we sit here and talk about that we're going to find another $2 million somewhere else. I would submit to you that we're looking at gaining $13 million out of this.
Representative Grew.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Couldn't agree with the last speaker more. To me, this is straight economic development. This is how we generate the money to pay. We're going to be looking in the interim at other ways to do it. This industry is poised to help tax itself and to help raise the money to help, but this is just straight economic development, and I urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, earlier I heard from the appropriations that add these individuals to these two different organizations, it's going to make us money. Well, now we're saying let's not increase this amount on the tourism because it's going to make us money. So I got a little question on that. So where do they actually stand? Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, what's the difference between a royal flush and a flush that just has a 9 instead of a 10 is still a flush? I think that if we look at this rationally, you know, we're not asking that much. And when I hear folks say that the industry is taxing themselves, I'm thinking that's not true because those taxes are going to be paid by the consumers. And so I would ask that we consider, as the gentleman said earlier, what we did for the folks who are vulnerable and in balance, what we can do for tourism. I would argue if we shut down the tourism board or the tourism department for 6 months, that I'll bet you we would probably bring in somewhere between $3.7 and $3.8 billion. But that's just my opinion.
Thank you. Representative Connolly.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. And, in fact, the only thing wrong with this amendment, I think, is that it's off by about a factor of 3. On the Revenue Committee, we heard from the industry with their own idea about how to generate revenue in order to fund tourism. We also heard from tourism about the dollars generated for every dollar invested by this body in their agency. We also learned about the money that also goes to our local communities from tourism. Okay, every dollar spent there, $7 or more comes back to the state or our locals. And so I'm in favor of this amendment, and let's think of a third reading that's even more.
Any other member who hasn't spoken yet for the first time? There's only about 5 of you left. And all yes. Now it's great debate. Okay, members, we are going to move to second time. I'm not seeing any other first. Members, for their second time, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I thought that last comment was really interesting because that was my point in the first reading. There's no bright line on this. It is never going to end because there's no line that's ever drawn. And responding to one other point, what they can do is create one of their many consortiums and pool their funds and advertise that way. And that's the way private sector oftentimes does this sort of function. So vote no, thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Bideman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm all for them taxing themselves. How about the business owners and the those people reach into their own pockets, pull out their wallet, and pay and tax themselves instead of passing it on to the consumer. Thank you. Vote no.
Representative Guru.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise once again in favor of this. Sorry. I've been a sales tax collection agent for the state of Wyoming for 39 years next month, and I can tell you that when I collect those revenues, put them in my bank account after a month, it seems like my money. I know it's not, but it does, and I think sometimes we all feel that way, maybe around April 15th. But I just want to say, in some response to some of what's been said in my community, we run our own air service program. It's a 501c6 nonprofit. I know because I'm the chairman. We pull that money out of our own pockets. We work with our local tourism promotion board with lodging tax dollars and work with our hotel community, and we work together, and we generate millions and millions of dollars. This helps us. We work with the State Division of Tourism as well. This is why we're the second largest industry in the state. This is what we can do together. If we all work together, we can generate more. And that's what this is about. That's why I'm for this, and that's why I urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
Any other members, second time, for the sponsor? Representative Sweeney?
Ditto to my good colleague by the Great Mountains.
Okay. Any other members? Okay, we're moving to our sponsor, Chairman Northam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So remember the conversation we had in state parks about paths and bicycles and trying to get all this to grow and become more and more? Well, this is how you do it. You advertise. You bring in more people to bicycle. You bring in more people to kayak. You have to advertise that. Remember the advertising that went on this summer? I bet you do, because it was a big blackout. We had an event that happened in the middle of the state. Kind of blacked it out for a day. That one event generated $63.5 million was spent, which is $3.8 million in taxes. Thank you.
We are voting That's on right. Amendment number 29. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Well, I think the chair's in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Twenty-nine. All those opposed, please stand. Amendment has failed. 29-30. Okay, we're on amendment number 57. Chairman Barlow.
Respectfully withdrawn, Mr. Speaker.
We're now on amendment number 30. Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, I would respectfully withdraw as well. Thank you.
Number 30 has been withdrawn. We're on now amendment number 31. Representative Hunt.
Thank
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would respectfully withdraw Amendment 31.
Amendment number 31 has been withdrawn. At this pace, we might not have to stop the clock at midnight. Okay, we are now on amendment number 32. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I hate to be the bad guy, but I would move Second Reading Amendment 32 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable introduction. Just because we skipped ahead pretty quick, but you go to page 68 on your budget bill. This is the Environmental Quality Council. You'll notice this number, if you've been looking at budgets for a while, is half the number. It's for half a biennium, right? We're funding them for 1 year. I guess I'll wait for the rationale from the good committee. But let me tell you in the past how this kind of works, right? Because I've seen this before to EQC and to our smaller agencies. When there's a decision you don't like, what you do is you come and say, well, now we're watching you, and we're going to, you know, take away half your funding for the year and put some sideboards, I haven't heard that word yet this year, on you to make sure that, you know, you're following the rules. We wouldn't do this to a larger agency. Can you imagine if we just gave the Department of Health or Family Services, you know, 1 year of funding? But we're doing it with this kind of small guy, two people in the agency. There used to be three. Now there's two. And I just don't think this is the right way to budget or to govern, right? This is kind of the coercive tactic that we want you to know we're looking at maybe getting rid of you. And I guess I'll look forward to listening to the rationale behind this, and then I'll look forward to a second time.
Any members would like to speak for the first time? Okay, we got Mr. Speaker Pro Tem Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The rationale behind 1 year of funding was there are numerous reports out there, both factual that people have approached me personally about, some anecdotal, that this is an agency that is having problems. The one-year funding and the two footnotes are intended to help resolve those issues. You need to review the footnotes that, in effect, say they have a year of funding, come back and tell us how to best staff the agency and at what level and how they plan to staff to meet the statutes. This is an agency that has employees. We have similar departments, similar commissions, boards, who do similar things but have no employees. The statute says that they'll get their advice from the state's top legal mind, and that they will get support from the agency that handles environmental issues. Instead, they have their own staff and their own people. When we questioned them about their 900 series, they indicated it was for contract legal help, and then indicated they never spend any for it, that they get their legal help from themselves. So this was just directed, when we did it, to help them start a process to become more efficient and that do their jobs better, support the state better. We have to keep the Environmental Quality Council. This isn't intended to get rid of them. It's intended to make a more responsive and better agency.
Anyone else for the first time? Seeing none, Chairman Zwanitzer. Oh, Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I concur with, I'm on for the amendment, and I concur with the bringer of the amendment. I know a little thing about this council because my husband has served at the pleasure of two governors and has served as chairman of this council. And so I've had a front row seat with the work that they do. And I can assure you that they are really the only common sense buffer between your average day Joe, who runs a garbage business or a gravel pit, and government overreach, which, believe me, we've got a little government overreach in Wyoming, as well as industry and environment. They do good work. And if you go to the statute, there are words that jump out. Independent is repeated a couple of different times, as is separate. I think it's vitally important for this council that they have their own counsel / secretary to provide them with advice and guidance. I don't know from whence this comes, because that person that I share a life with, it's completely, this was completely out of the blue for him, he and the rest of his council members. They don't understand from where this is coming. And so I would hope that you would continue to fund this position for 2 years, but bring on the study. I have no problem with that, and neither do they. And I think they would argue that it would be great for you to come see the work that they do. They ruled in a lot of cases when the methane industry was going great guns in the northeast part of our state. And not for nothing, I know a thing or two about the individuals that created this environmental act that this department is a part of, and they were oil and gas men. And they knew that it was important that we have a separate, autonomous council, citizen council, that could be that council that you could go to so that you could be heard. And without that council, then I think the state of Wyoming is going to spend more time in court and is going to spend a lot more money litigating cases if that average guy doesn't feel like he got heard. And I know this isn't to defund the council, but I do think it's important that you understand that that council be autonomous in every sense of the word. So I urge you to vote aye for this amendment, and I thank you for your time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, you know, our Appropriations Committee made a statement. We've heard lots of issues with this agency. You know, it's a good idea when we put this EQC into statute. They have done a great job in the past, but things are maybe a little bit askew right now. When our regular department that oversees these permitting projects in the state spend multiple years, and companies spend multiples, you know, probably multiples of tens of millions of dollars, and our main agency comes in and basically is happy with the work and they follow the path, and then all of a sudden this group can come in being influenced by some of the radical groups that pretty much want to stop everything, and they bring in their hired guns as expert witnesses to counter multiple years of work that our main agency has done, and tens of millions of dollars of professional consulting fees companies have hired. So, yeah, we're making a statement here. This right the ship and sail along the straight line and do this right and not do things at the last minute. Get involved earlier.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, ladies and gentlemen, there was some good testimony about someone that has intimate involvement in it, in this, and I've had intimate involvement both with the department that they oversee and with this council. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is what a citizen gets. This is the avenue a citizen gets when they feel the process has aggrieved them. And as a landowner, when I am trying to protect my property rights, I think that's pretty damn important, and I think that's pretty important for all of you, too. Now, I also agree that the industries who seek permits, they have a right, too, and they can go to this council and this body, too, if they feel they are aggrieved. So what's at risk here, I believe, is far greater than the, if there's if there's something going on right now, that's an executive branch function. But what we put at risk with this, my concern is, The radical move is we lose primacy over the very programs that we hold so dear, our air quality, our land quality, our water quality, because part of that primacy understanding with that federal dollars that come in is that we have a venue and a tract and a meaningful way for these issues to be resolved, and that is what an independent counsel is responsible for. So put the fox in the hen house, if you choose, or threaten it, and guess what that ammunition is for those who would want to undermine it? Wyoming can't take care of their business. Ladies and gentlemen, I would ask you to vote aye for this amendment. If there are issues within the executive branch that need to be resolved, there is a way to do that. Please vote aye for the amendment. Resist this. This puts way too much at risk. Way too much at risk for us as citizens in this state and for the good of our citizens, both corporate citizens that want adequate regulation and citizens that want protections from things that go haywire. So vote aye for the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I should point out I might be the only member of this body who has actually served on the Environmental Quality Council. I was on there for 2 years before I was elected to this body. And I'm not speaking exactly to this amendment, but I think it's very important for you all to understand what a critical role this council plays and how important it is for them to maintain their independence either way so they can represent either the industry or the citizens when there are appeals to decisions made by the agency that they are associated with. And I think it's important for you all to understand that. So thank you very much.
Anyone for a second time before the sponsor? Representative Lone, for your first time.
For first, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to bring kind of a different perspective, and that's because of where I work. And this organization doesn't just ensure that permitting is done properly or that the rights of individuals are protected through that permitting process. It also goes into further depth in as far as compliance goes if someone feels that the department is operating outside of their guidelines. It gives them the concern or an opportunity to voice that concern with permits that are already in place. But to an even further extent, when that agency writes regulations, this council reviews those regulations to ensure that they are properly written and not infringing too heavily on private rights. So I think it's very important to keep these two organizations separate. It's a check and balance within the system, and I think we need checks and balances. It slows down processes many times, but that's important to have. So I just want to bring that to everyone for their consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What the previous speakers have said is correct. This agency is vital to keeping primacy over environmental regulations here in Wyoming. That behooves us to have the most effective agency possible. That's why the Appropriations Committee said, look at the issues, address the issues, come back with a recommendation on how best to staff the organization. We never say anything about cutting it or combining it with someone else, how to best staff it and meet the statutory requirements that are in statute and matching it with similar agencies. That's why we said fund it for a year. Please come back. We do this and other things. If you've noticed, a lot of task forces are only funded now for a year. I can't think of the word right now. It's getting late in the day. But Give it your highest level priority. We need this organization. We want to keep it. But like most organizations, we want it to be as responsive and effective as possible. All we're asking them for is continue for the next year, come back with a recommendation, and let us know. Maybe they need more staffing. We don't know. So on and against the amendment, let the system work.
Anyone else for their second time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The previous speaker was right. We're not cutting any funding here. We're just making them come back in a year and report the progress that they've been making. There was a ruling in the last year or so that sent a really negative vibe throughout the mining industry in particular, maybe Wyoming isn't open for business. You know, maybe we will have to start taxing everyone, an income tax, other things, if we don't allow these industries to operate in Wyoming. You know, we have a good system set up. We have oversight with the DEQ. They're overseen by the EQC. It works. But, you know, some of the things that are going on aren't quite right. And, do we want to be friendly and we do things right? Remember, we do it better in this state. We do it better in this country when we mine products from the earth than anywhere else on earth. When you shut it down here, the demand for that product doesn't go away. What it goes to an environment that is less regulated than we are. So, yeah, frankly, shutting things down in Wyoming results in more environmental harm.
Anyone else?
Vote no.
Anyone else for a second time? Seeing none. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Well, members, I think you heard the rationale right there. There is a decision made by this body that an aggrieved party didn't like. It's not our role to be the police of those decisions, right? I mean, our role, we're the power of the purse. We're a separate, co-equal branch of government. We appreciate an independent judiciary. We also appreciate, you know, these are quasi-judicial agencies, right? We have the Public Service Commission, the Board of Equalization, the Environmental Quality Council. These serve in a quasi-judicial role. And because we control the power of the purse, I mean, it's not appropriate. I guess that's the nicest word I can think of. It's not appropriate for us to say, you know, we're not sure we like a decision outcome. Let's make a statement. And I think it's very easy to push back gently when you say we're not cutting their funding. We don't hold every other agency in state government for 1 year of funding. And just to make you all feel better, on page 69, I'm not cutting the report. They're still going to come to minerals. They're going to come to appropriations. They're going to report on their findings and say, hey, can we do things better? And hopefully those committees say they can do things better. They're doing stuff well. But to cut half their funding, it just doesn't feel right, and I don't think that's our role until the executive branch comes to us and we make some joint decisions on having to go that route. And I certainly don't think we're there based on one decision that has a lot of layers on it that I can't explain at the mic, but I think they got it right. And that wasn't great for one segment of our population, but next time they're going to get it right too, and it's going to benefit another party, and that's what an independent judicial body does.
All those in favor of House Amendment 32, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no?
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those who are in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Amendment 32 has failed. 26 aye, 30 no. We are now on to Amendment 33. And Chairman Nicholas.
I don't know that I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I turn the explanation of this amendment over to the good Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Second Reading Amendment Number 33 to the Budget Bill, House Bill 1. Ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this really goes in and kind of what I think kind of cleans up what our Appropriations Committee did on the SIPA guarantee. It gets really to the heart of really trusting your trust funds. Not exactly like House Bill 186, but very close. House Bill 186 has got a start date of the next biennium, 21-22. And so what this does on page 1, the first lines, 1 through 18, it takes out there's a current SIPA guarantee in the budget. Okay, and it's about 90% of the first year, and then I don't think there's any the second year. And then if you go to the second page of the amendment, on lines 11 through 16, there's a $40 million transfer, $40,833,000 transfer of general fund monies to the school capital construction account. So by trusting our trust funds, we don't have to make this general fund transfer. So it removes that general fund transfer. Okay, and that's so that's little paragraph B there on starting on line 12 of page 2. The next lines are on 17 through 19, and this removes the LSRA transfer and for that same account. And then this little part on lines 21 through 23 says page 141, line 28. This puts in this SIPA guarantee that $5 million for that technical school over the hill that we're all kind of talking about and don't quite know what to do with. This doesn't, I think the language for that is in Section 331 on the budget. This is just how you fund it. This would be a little differently from instead of the LSRA, it would be out of the SIPA guarantee. You can debate that issue on Section 331 all you want. I'm just trying to line out the funding for these things that are currently in the budget. And then if you'd go to the third page of that amendment, Romanets, starting on line 9, so paragraph A, this just talks about really then the SIPA guarantee. So paragraph A is 45% of the 1.25. That's 0.9375. Goes to the school capital constructions major maintenance is what it is. It goes to that. And then the 30%, which is guaranteed, goes to legislative approved SIPA priorities. And then there's another 25% that's not guaranteed, that's not in this amendment because it's not guaranteed. So really it just, we've got a SIPA guarantee in the budget right now. It's different than this. This brings it more like House Bill 186, which I hope will come to us on general file in the coming couple days. And so I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Madden.
This is a lot to catch up on here, but one thing that I need to have an answer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at page 2 of the amendment, line 17, where we're taking and removing the strategic investments and projects account from this funding source and putting in the reserve account. That's not what we do with the reserve account. I think this is, I guess it's not precedented, but, or there is a precedent, but I don't think they're good examples of the way you fund something like this. It looks to me like you're getting straight into the reserve account without the proper spending policy being abided by.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone? Seeing none. Oh, Representative Jennings.
Mr. Chairman, on Section 331, where we're talking about the automotive technology, at the bottom of that it says grant or loan. So which is that?
Anyone else for their first time?
Majority whip. Second.
Thank you. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I can answer that, the last question. So you have a Section 331 amendment that's coming up in here, and there's actually an amendment to that amendment. This has to do with the good auto school that's over the hill. And so currently there are two proposals out there. One is to go to the Community College Commission. The other is for a private entity to come in and have the option of taking it over. If a private entity comes and takes it over, it'll be the loan. And the concept of the amendment is that if it's the LCCC that takes it over, that's a grant, as previously explained. So that's the reason why we have the OR in there.
Representative Edwards.
First for a second.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you. First for a second.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Stith.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the speaker, and I apologize, maybe it's just late, but if when you respond, if you could just in English explain why we need this amendment. I'm not getting that. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the presenter? Anyone for their second time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. To the good chairman of revenue, your question really is that dotted line between what would be now the SIPA and back to the reserve account. And so this is all the timing of cash to fund these projects. And so, if cash disbursement is needed on July 15th at the beginning of the fiscal year and the investments haven't been received by July 15th, cash will flow from the reserve account. When the investments come in, the cash will flow back to the reserve account. And so that's really this cash management, to answer your question. I think there was a question by the good representative from Sheridan County, really on Section 331. I think the chairman maybe answered that. We can talk about 331 if there's an amendment coming up. I'm just trying to figure a way to fund what's currently in the budget. This is currently funded in the budget, that Section 331 for the technical school over the hill. This just changes and puts it in the 19 and 20 SIPA guarantee, the 19 SIPA. Okay. To the good representative from the land where that the Rock Springs water, I guess. Why do we need this? I think the first thing is then we can not transfer $40 million in general fund cash. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we're not going to spend as much LSRA cash. And so this is save your cash, trust your trust fund. And, folks, you know how we budget. It's called. You saw the green booklet that came out in January, and it's called CREG, right? I think I can say it. But after revenue, it's estimating. And it is estimated on $50 oil. That's what our budget's built on. And every government in the world estimates revenues. And so we have oil, $50. Coal, I don't know, I think we're thinking about 300 million tons of coal in that Craig estimate. Natural gas, right? And then sales tax, which about 15% of that's energy. So you got all these estimates. And then the other estimate is 2.15% out of the per mil trust fund, which is dividends and interest. That's what we've gotten for the last 45 years, 2.15%. And so what we're saying is to use our trust fund, and particularly our reserve account, which we're going to grow to $550 million, to guarantee, in the end, about $88 million a year. So about a six-year guarantee of cash. So as you look at these revenue estimating, coal, oil, gas, sales tax, property tax, which is 70% minerals, I'd submit to you that this revenue from our $8 billion trust fund that we've worked our tail off to save, right, that we've doubled and doubled again in the last 12 years, that is more predictable than $50 oil or 300 million tons of coal. And I think we just got to have this honest-to-goodness conversation. We're talking trying to provide services. We've talked about all these services. Some we voted up, some we voted down. Tax increases, all those things. But I think we got to get our trust funds working as hard as the people we represent. And I just think you have to have this honest-to-goodness conversation. So if you want to call it betting on the come, I think betting on $50 oil, you could argue that as well. And I'm still planning on the sun coming up, still planning on a diversified portfolio in the United States of America. And because if that all goes to crap, we got bigger problems than this. And so I'm planning on optimism. And I'm planning on, really, I think what our dream in the 70s was, that we're going to have a serious trust fund to help operate this state and provide for our needs. So that's it. That's all I'm trying to start actualizing this policy. And I want to sell you on the idea and the dream, and that we use the most conservative trust fund perhaps in the world to do this. And so that's it. So I think I'm the last guy. So I'll quit my filibuster. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please vote aye.
All those in favor of House Amendment 34, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment, House Amendment 34 has passed this, or 33, I am sorry, 33. This amendment does have an appropriation and requires a roll call. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Amendment 33, Allen.
Aye.
Barlow. Whiteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner. Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 no.
Amendment 33 has been adopted. We are on to Amendment 34. Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Fifi. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 34 to House Bill number 1. Fifi's still got a little cash left in her, about $16,000. We're taking that out, and we're going to put it in the We the People and officially kill off Fifi. Please vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time? Question being called. All those in favor of House Bill or House Amendment 34, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
House Amendment 34 has passed. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully withdraw my amendment.
We're on to Amendment number 54, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This goes to page 107, where we direct the executive to look for further positions that can be cut from the state budget. 50
Representative,
in total.
Can you
I hereby move the amendment number 37 to House Bill 1. That was going to come in the middle of my. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We identified, or we gave the executive 50 positions to identify for elimination. As you can see from the amendment, instead of all the out dates, I made them all effective December 31st, 2018. Now, the reason I did this is twofold. The executive's a little behind in this regard, and I thought by... Sorry?
I believe you're on the wrong amendment. We are on amendment number 54.
Oh, I'm on 37. I'm so... Okay. Okay. Everybody just forget that happened. Okay.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 54 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment goes to state employee health plans, and specifically it goes to the deductibles that they pay. The deductibles range from the $500 plan to the $3,000 deductible plan, and the premiums are relatively low. And when I say relatively, I mean relative to the private sector. So what I propose in this amendment is that deductibles shall rise. I don't think any one of us knows anyone in the private sector that hasn't been hit with a $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 annual deductible on their health insurance plans, especially here in Wyoming with one provider and failure to repeal the big plan. So this is quite modest, I thought. In the first year, deductibles shall rise 10%. In the second year, deductibles shall rise again by 9%. This still won't make a big hit. It won't resemble anything that the private sector, some in the private sector, are having to endure. But it's a small step in bringing our good state employees a little more into the real world of extremely high health care costs and extremely high health care deductibles. So I urge your aye vote.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against this amendment,
The agency that takes care of this has already been increasing deductibles, and I don't think state employees need to take another hit. On and against.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment as well. Again, the deductibles, some of them have increased four or five times over the last couple of years. And if there were to be a third reading amendment directing the department to study within the executive branch, looking at changing the insurance plan over the course of the interim or the next year, I think that's fine and legitimate. But, you know, we're all sitting here about in a coma, at least me, and certainly the folks at home are probably have fallen off their sofa and hit their head on the ground. I just don't think it is the right thing to do to employees across the state to change their benefits at 8:45 in the evening or whatever it is. That's not the way to do it. We, at the very least, study it in broad daylight when people of all categories can come in and make comment, and not at this time of night.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. While we need to continue to look at our health care costs, our premiums, and those sorts of things, it's something we do over time. As the previous speaker said, we don't bring these amendments, which seem to come up every year at the last minute, to hammer our state employees. Now, everybody thinks state employees make a tremendous amount of money. They do not on the average. You know, we have employees who are making, I'll just pick a number, making $40,000 a year. Some of them have families. They pay a lot for their insurance because the insurance is not based on how much you make. It's based on the number of people who potentially will use it. You know, we are not going to balance this budget, and we've done a lot of work on backs of our state employees. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Why would we want to do that? They're the people we're counting on to help us through this crisis. And to continually increase the deductibles on them, decrease their benefits, just isn't right. And we seem to bring these amendments at the last time. At the last moment during these sessions. On and against this amendment, and it's not a big hit. Think about what you make in your life, and if somebody said, hey, you got to come up with an additional 10% on your deductible for your family of six, it's a lot of money. So on and against this amendment, you know, we need to be doing the right thing. We need to be looking at these and not bringing these sorts of things at the last minute, again, to hammer our state employees.
Chairman Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to rise in support of the amendment, and I just like to push back on a couple of things here. These amendments are coming just before 9 o'clock because they're in the 300 series and because we have a lot of amendments. These were turned in by 5 o'clock yesterday. Signed off on before half an hour before we started this morning. So the comments about doing this late and at the last minute and in the last hour, okay, I just don't think those are fair. We're here to go through all of these, and I just want to push back on those comments. I know especially the good speaker pro tem has worked a lot of long hours in his duties on JEC. So this just recognize we're all here, we're all doing our job. These aren't last-minute ideas. This is a policy decision that we're going to make, you bet.
Representative Byrd.
Mr. Chair, a first for a second.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So part of the thing that I don't think is not thought through on this particular amendment is if you have a $500 deductible, then you're cut $50. But if you have a $1,500 deductible, so those folks that can't afford as much, it's a $150 cut. And so when you put the economies of scale in terms of what the deductibles are and how you're doing it, it's really unfair to those folks for the higher deductibles. And so that really doesn't make any sense to me. So on and against.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker. Anyone else for their first time? Going on to the second time. Anyone for their second time? Seeing no one rushing to the mic. Oh, Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We want to add and increase the amount of money that the state employees contribute. I would challenge anybody in here to remember when the last time we gave them a raise, and that was a true raise, that we didn't turn around in the same session and take half of that back in another increase. I think this is unwarranted and just overburdening our state employees. I hear that you want to keep and retain state employees. You want to make these jobs attractable to them sticking around and other young people coming. This is not the way to do that. On and against.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to say I wasn't attempting to suggest that I was suspecting the amendment bringer of doing something underhanded by having the misfortune of having the amendment show up this late. My point, however, is that when you're affecting 7,000 employees or whatever we've got in all the various plans, that this is best looked at by the agency, by the executive branch, by supervisory people, the opportunity for people to come and discuss it together, just like we do on interim topics, and talk about it over the course of time, assess, look at the best research, what is the best way to impact people's use of health care, people's use of their insurance, what the best analysis of deductibles is, and have that as a more thorough discussion over time. If we're going to do it in the interim, I'm fine with that, but I don't think this is the way to do it.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe it is late in the day and that got to me, but again, we're talking about our state employees. We're talking about some other people, school districts that are in this program also, and that in the past year, the department that oversees this has made changes in the program. They make them gradually so that they aren't a big impact to employees. I've talked to state employees. You know, they told me that if we raise the contribution that they needed to make to the retirement system, the ones I talked to, that was preferable to them than raising their insurance premiums or cutting their benefits. A lot of employees have young families. You do use medical care, and these costs can add up. And that, so on and against this, and I would ask you to support our state employees and that vote against this amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on and against, I think so you got this large pool. And this affects schools, too, because all the schools are based on the state plan. But the reason why it's stable, it's such a large pool. It's the only pool in Wyoming that is based on, like, 7,000 actual employees and then thousands more that are in the school system. And so that's our problem. I mean, you can't – there's no cross-state lines. There's no big pools to join. And it's like any other insurance. It's 10% of the people use about 80% of the benefits, and unfortunately, most of it in the last years of their life. And it's like any other pool, but it's a large pool. It's working. It's been pretty stable. It's been half the rate of increase or less than the private sector. So I think, you know, I hear you. But I don't – are we going to just – we're going to say we're going to make punish success? We ought to be thinking, how are we going to solve this for the private sector as well? And we've tried, we've had studies, we've done all these things. Those are tough conversations to have, and it's in a radically kind of different rural environment. So I don't know. I don't have the answer, but I think putting a thumb down on what's working, I think, is not part of the answer. So I ask you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time before the bringer? Seeing none, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaker pro tem was correct. The $500 deductible plan will see his deductible increase to $550. But to put that in perspective, his monthly premium is $123. His monthly premium is $123. I don't think we're imposing any hardship on that employee. And as for the best use of insurance, we have found that out in the last few years. In order to promote the best use of health care is to price people out of it. And in the private sector, people cannot afford to go to the doctor. They have insurance, but they cannot afford to go to the doctor. And I think this is lost, the disconnect between the public employee and the private sector needs to be examined. There is a PhD economist in this town who has done an analysis of salaries. In 2014, the average private sector wage was $42,000 a year. When you added all the public sector salaries to the private sector numbers, the average salary in Wyoming went up to $52,000 a year. Now, fast forward 8 years, 4 years, since the big hit we took in 2016. The average salary in the private sector has dropped to $37,000 a year. Now, do the same calculation. Add in all the public sector salaries, and the average salary in the state of Wyoming is now up to $55,000. So I put it to this body that this is going to present no hardship. It's only to bring a little reality into the bubble that is public employment in this state. And I ask for your aye vote on the amendment.
All those in favor of Amendment 54, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Amendment 54 has failed. We are on to Amendment 36, Representative Loan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully withdraw Amendment 36 to House Bill 2-1.
Amendment 36 has been withdrawn. We are on to Amendment 37, Representative Halverson. I think we've been down this road once before.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment number 37 to House Bill 1. This has to do on page 107 of your budget, and it has to do with the positions that we are requiring the executive to identify and eliminate. And there were 50 of them in all going out various dates. This will encumber a new executive beginning next January, and I don't think that's the right thing to do. So what I did with my amendment is that I made all the dates, the 50 positions that had to be identified and eliminated by December 31st, 2018. So I just eliminated all the future dates in 2019 and 2020 and made them 2018. And one of the reasons why I was motivated to do this is because the executive has been a little slow in meeting what we mandated last year. So I thought I'd accelerate the process a little bit, and that's the reason I brought the amendment. So I urge your aye vote.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the amendment, you know, we want to have these cuts, and we want to do it right. We want to take the time and give the chief executive the time to do this and do it right by impacting the fewest people possible. And so by doing this, as vacancies come up and positions in different agencies, it gives them the time to make the cuts that they need over the course of a biennium. So I guess on and against, we put in, I think the good chair of Approps will talk to it. We kind of sped it up from the first first time we did it, and I think that was sped up enough, and I would urge you to resist this amendment.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I too would ask you to resist this amendment. We feel very strongly that these 50 additional positions can be cut or light cuts in activities, programs, or units. But by allowing the extra time to do it, allows you to take advantage of attrition, through retirements or changes in programs. We've heard several times today we need to slow down and do things and be kind, and maybe we finally got that. I think that's what we're saying here is to allow a couple of years to get those 50 reductions made, and it ends up saving us about $3.7 million. So I would, again, encourage you to resist this temptation, resist this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Well, it is late, but I'm getting my second wind, and I said, well, we have many hours. We can turn the clock off. we can. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at this and compare to what JC did, JC took the position that these positions, this money can be done through attrition. It doesn't have to be done through terminations or anything else. We can do it through attrition. And that's why it was set up as it was. It was a gradual thing. And that also gives the executive branch the opportunity. They can replace people if they need it. I mean, if they have a candidate or an individual who has a very important job, you may want to just eliminate them. It gives them the opportunity to fill those positions. And that over time, along with the reductions. The one thing I am unsure about, and I'm on line 17 of the amendment, where it says delete $2,775,000, insert $5,625,000, where that came from, because the reductions in money are based on the number of individuals, which if you go back to page 107 at the bottom, the equivalent amount of money to an FTE is $75,023. So it looks like overall it's almost doubling the amount of funds to be cut in those people. So I need some explanation on the difference there. This is just confusing to me. So on and against the amendment, I think we have a good program. I think we should stick with it.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Seeing no clamoring to the mics, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer the good Speaker Pro Tem's question about line 17 of the amendment, or actually line 19, but I know what you mean, LSO assured me that due to the accelerated timeline, that this would be the impact. So, I would say that we are behind the eight ball on this. The ball has been dropped. Time to pick it up again and vote aye on the amendment. Thank you.
All those in favor of Amendment 37, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Amendment 37 has failed. We are on to Amendment 38. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 38 to House Bill 1. Would ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is really I'm taking reversion money and I'm putting it in the school capital construction account. So nothing nefarious. Really, the money from the 2012 projects reverted after December 31st, so after this budget was made. And so instead of them going back into the school facility commission pot, I'm just putting them right back in to, I guess, the construction account. And as previously mentioned, I think in the budget discussion yesterday, it's in everybody's mind this pot's going to carry junior high, which we didn't get through last year. And so we're still about $4 million short at last I looked, but this at least gives $2.5 million more to almost get to the starting point for that junior high in my town. And it's no new money, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for their first time? Question being called for. All those in favor of Amendment 38, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Amendment 38 passes. We are on to Amendment number 47. Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I bring amendment for the second reading on budget bill, amendment number 47. Finally got that out. I guess I'm questioning why on page 119 we have to question our elected officials' ability to make a decision on if they should sell land or not. This just deletes line 2 through 9. I think it might be a good rule, but I'm not sure if it needs to be in the budget. And can we not have this rule somewhere else? But as the way it is here, they have to check with the state construction department before they would sell any school lands. But so I bring this amendment.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to encourage you to vote no on this amendment. This really does, this doesn't cost the state anything, and it potentially saves the state lots of money. So why wouldn't we want to do it? It makes sense to leave this in here. Vote no on the amendment. All we're asking to do is make sure that we have the right hand knowing what the left hand's doing. You know, the state land board may not always know what's going on in school construction. So this just makes sure we have one more check and balance, make sure everyone's communicating, talking to each other. And as I said, it costs the state nothing and just has a potential upside benefit. So vote no, and thank you for your support in a no vote.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope that you'll vote aye on this. I think it's expanded way too far. It should be at least reasonable land and not left up to being all lands. The areas that this has is everything that the state owns. Think about it. I think it's way too far. Vote no, or vote yes.
Minority Floor Leader Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of this amendment. Friends, if you take a look at this whole section, it's talking all about school capital construction. And then in the middle of it, we have a rule for 2 years about what the Board of Land Commissioners must do regarding land that could potentially be for a school. To me, this looks like either a solution looking for a problem or a rule or a bill, what needs to be a bill in terms of a change in the way that we do siting for schools. This end doesn't belong in a budget bill. If it belongs someplace, we need to assign it to a committee and have them take a good look at it. So I'm in favor of the amendment.
Majority Floor Leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not often I get to agree with my counterpart from across the way here, but I do. And, you know, this isn't the proper place for this. You know, frankly, the majority of our state-controlled lands are in very, very remote areas. You know, just bring a bill. If someone needs this, bring a bill. Just do it right. It probably needs to be, say, within a few miles, 5 miles, say, of a populated area. Are we going to build a school out where there's no children? Gosh, I hope not.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Speaker.
Well, let's continue the fun. I think really just think about practicality, how this is going to work. And you got a school section right next to town. It's sold, and that's great. And all that money goes to the corpus. But then 20 years from now, we got to build another school in that town. And so now we go back to the person we sold it to for $1 million, and we got to pay another $50 million for that's a little bit of land to put a school on. That's what we're talking about. I think what the majority floor leader said with these remote sections, it's not even an issue. I think it's sections that are close. That's the spirit of this, I think, is what we're trying to make sure We don't sell and then have to buy back at a higher price, because we're famous for doing that in the state. We do it a lot, unfortunately. So it's trying to prevent that. Thank you.
Chairman Greer.
I think I finally got my mind wrapped around this, and I'm going to vote against this amendment. In my community, just a block and a half from where our high school and our junior high are located is a state section of land. And that would be a great example of where this evaluation needs to be done before that was ever sold off. And there has been discussions about using it for a business park or economic development for other things. And so I think this is just a good counterbalance to make sure we don't get too far out ahead of some good idea and make sure that those state lands are there for that purpose, and just to double check.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It was discussed that this isn't the appropriate place in this bill. I would point out that on page 116, we talk about land acquisitions right there. This takes place in this bill, just as the previous speaker had to say. This is all about a little bit of communication, making sure everybody's on the right page, on the same page, and we're not potentially costing the state money. And as I said, this doesn't cost any money to have this conversation between organizations within the state, and it has total upside potential, because we could save ourselves money by not getting rid of a parcel, only to have to repurchase it at some point in the future. Vote no on the amendment, and thanks for the support in your no vote.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I've heard two things that I want to comment to. One is that's not what it means. But it says the Board of Land Commissioners must do this evaluation for that piece of land out in the hinterlands, and not just that one that's right next to town. Of course someone should take a look at the land right next to town. But in here, that's what it says. Right? It's not what it means, it's what it says. And so for 2 years, and just for 2 years, this is probably a good idea with some more, and I'll use the term sideboards, but it doesn't belong in the budget bill. It actually belongs either in a bill or in a rule and regulation with a little bit more thought and a little bit more kind of understanding that we're not talking about the hinterlands, but we are talking about right next to town. So on and in favor of this amendment. The hinterlands.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Ditto.
Anyone else for their second time? Seeing none. Representative Larson.
Yeah, I'll just encourage an aye vote for that. I think it was well stated, my position also. You know, why do we need to question our five elected? I think they have enough departments, they can figure this out.
All those in favor of Amendment 47, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please signify by saying no.
No.
The noes have it. Amendment 47 fails. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Sweeney, no. The noes have it. 30 noes, 29 aye. Amendment 47 has failed. We are on to Amendment 39. That's right. Amendment number 40. I apologize. There was a change. Okay. So, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw. There's a corrected copy. I withdraw both of these.
Majority Whip, can I get the numbers for those, please?
Mr. Chairman, 40 in the corrected copy, I don't remember. 40 as well, corrected 40.
Thank you. We are on to amendment number 39. 49. Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I respectfully withdraw this one.
We are on to Amendment 56. Representative Gray.
Mr. Chairman, I respectfully withdraw Amendment number 56 to second reading of House Bill 1.
Amendment 56 has been withdrawn. We're on a roll. We are on to Amendment 41. Representative Zwanitzer. Going to do it again. Chairman Zwanitzer.
No, you're going to like this amendment once you realize what it does. I move second reading amendment number 41 to House Bill 1. Would ask for your favorable consideration. As you'll see there on page 133, there's basically $22.5 million ready for further legislative authorization, which I will tell you down the hall, they are legislatively authorizing. So we also could, in the budget, throw certain projects in, and I think one of the best ones, especially which fits completely within this section, is the Endow Initiative for Education. And so hopefully you all got the email or the press release or some notification about 3 weeks ago. The governor, the chief executive of the state, issued an executive order, 2018 number one, on educational attainment, calling for a new goal in this state, actually two goals. One is 67% by 2025 and 82% by 2040 of Wyoming's working population, 25 to 64 years old, who possess a post-secondary credential. So how are we
going? Point of order. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to point out that the good current speaker was referring to the ongoing business of the body down the hall, and that's a no-no. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Chairman Zwanitzer, please refrain. Continue.
Okay. We are the only body in the building, Mr. Chairman. You're right. There is no ongoing business down the hall. But if there was, this is what they'd be doing. And so when you've been around here for a while, how these things work is certain bills start in certain places. They end up in the other house, and the budget ends up in both houses. And you get these conundrums on when things are in the budget and in bills, and the conference committee has, let's just say, multiple balls in the air to juggle. So what I'm basically doing is throwing another ball in the air for something that I think, you know, in the next year is definitely going to come back. We'll hear more about it here next week and in future months about these this endeavor, really, for an educational attainment goal. So I thought, why not put it in the budget now, leave it there for a while, hopefully get it in the budget, and our good conference committee, if we even have one, will keep it in there, and we will increase educational attainment in the state, help out our community colleges, help out our workforce, help out our people, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Stith.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this proposed amendment, this Section 320B, Section 321 funds may have better use for other projects, other uses. For example, we have what I regard as an anomaly in our budget right now. We have allocated $14.9 million to be spent for K-12 security for hardware, for objects, for physical things, but neither the school funding formula nor anywhere else in this budget is there any actual appropriation for personnel for school security. It's quite odd. It seems that it's like we're buying this very large piece of equipment and then not funding an operator for it. I think there could be further budget amendments. I think spending the entire $22.5 million on this proposed project, while it's a worthy project, may not be the highest and best use. Thank you.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the amendment, this is endowed money, and I guess in particular in this $22,500,000, I guess was one of my priorities and one of Endow's priorities, which was broadband. And so there's a bill going through the other side. It was at least a while ago. I get in trouble for that one probably too, referring to the other side. But there is a bill over there that actually does appropriate money out of that 22.5 for broadband. And so I would really urge you to pull back from this. I really believe that Endow had some priorities for this money, and they're in bills on the other side, and we ought to hold off on that. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think those are all fair. There's lots of options we could put in here. I did just find one that is the most recent really edict from our chief executive, and with the support of this Endow Council, this is where they're heading and where we're going. So I thought, why not start? Because really we have a 7-year window to try to hit this educational attainment goal, and if we're going to do it, we better get on it right now. And so I thought it was too important to wait, and we should put it in for this funding pot this year at the current time. Thank you for your consideration.
We're voting on Amendment 41. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please signify by saying no.
No.
Amendment 41 has failed. Now we're on to Amendment 39. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 39 to House Bill 1, and in this, the elected office that does not have a head at the very moment, I would like to wait a year before any election equipment is bought so he has a say-so in what is happening. It would be July 1st, 2019, when that would happen. Thank you.
Further discussion, Mr. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a great amendment, and I've had another one that actually goes even further and adds a more restriction or kind of modifies the statutory language where these dollars come from to make sure that because we had a miscount on it. But this fund is supposed to grow and shouldn't be expended for another 2 or 3 years.
Representative Lone.
On and for the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Seeing no further discussion for the first time, second time sponsor. Seeing none and question being called, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 39 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Amendment 39 is passed. We're now on to second reading amendment number 48. Representative Larson Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on amendment number 48, House Bill number 1. I respectfully withdraw this one.
Seeing no objection, amendment 48 has been withdrawn. We're now on to second reading amendment number 42. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully withdraw amendment number 42 to second reading, House Bill 1.
Seeing no objection, amendment 42 has been withdrawn. We're now on to second reading amendment number 43, Representative Clem.
All right, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I do move second reading amendment number 43 to House Bill number 1, and members would ask for your attention and your favorable consideration. In your box, you have a paper, should be front and back, and it looks like this, should be colored, so it looks like this, front and back. You should have that.
It's a piece of paper.
You should have that colored paper in your box, all right? Has my name on it, has second reading amendment number 43 on there, all right? And so that's what we're going to be working off of. So members, what this amendment does is this addresses the split for health insurance that the state currently pays to its employees, all right? And just by way of information, so, you know, if you look at studies, in fact, you could do a simple Google search and you could find that the average company pays around 82 to 83% for their employees' health insurance. Sometimes it's as low as 70. The average, maybe a little bit lower than that, might be an 80-20 split. But generally speaking, it is a 83-17 split. And so with that in mind, you will find on your sheet, and I am working on this, I'm working off of this fact sheet right here, and you'll notice there, it's kind of circled, and this is what currently the state pays, all right? It pays roughly 85%, and we're going to look at that just in just a moment. And it breaks it down by employee, employee plus children, employee plus spouse, and family. And you can see there what the total amount is. So if you look there in that first column over the employee, it says $963.48. That is the total amount of the health insurance policy. All right. So what does the state pick up? The state picks up $833.07. So the employee out of pocket is $130.41. Okay, so that's per month. And you can see that for all of those categories. Now, if you turn to the back, or this other sheet right here, you will find what this bill seeks to do. And you will see the current percentages. So it says it's about 85%. We actually pay a little bit more than 85% for the employee. In fact, for all of these categories. So if you look there, of that $963.48, the state pays $833.07. That's 86.4%. that the state pays towards an employee's health insurance. Okay, so what this bill does is that over time, and you'll see this, it stair steps it down. And I can read it here in the bill. If you look there on line number 11, it says, for the period of December 1st, 2018 through November 30th, 2019, 83%. I've got to back up a little bit. Starts out from 85%, goes to 84%. So year one, if you look there, there is a reduction. So we're stair-stepping it down a percentage each year is what it would look like. So the first year, it would go from the employee only, $833.07 that the state would pay, and the state would then go and pay $809.32 the next year. That's 84%. The year after that, it would go another 1% down to 83%, and that would be $799.69. So what is the employee contribution? Well, that if you go to the table down, this is what it would be that the employee would have to pay. And you can see there, so the employee contribution would be $130.41. Going down to 84%, there's a little bit bigger of a jump because, again, we're paying 86.4% of their premium right now. So they would pay an additional $23.59 per month. Is what they would pay for that first year. Per month, $23.59. The year after that, it goes to $963. And then it levels out. So $963. So what we do here is for those first 2 years, so we're just looking at the biennium, and we would go down to 83%. What the rest of the bill seeks, or what the rest of the amendment seeks to do is on little d there. So subparagraph D says, the Department of Administration and Information's biennial budget request for the 2021-2022 biennium shall reflect a state contribution rate to the state employee health, dental, and life insurance premiums of 82%. So when they come back for the next biennial budget, they're going to profile 82%. Okay, so this brings it down in line more towards what the private industry pays, more towards what is normal out there in the industry today. And again, say, why do you bring this amendment? Well, two things. We've got almost $1 billion in structural deficit. We've been adding a lot to this budget, and we haven't been cutting in a whole lot of places. This is one of those places where we can cut. And is it unfair? No, I don't think it's unfair at all, because this just keeps in line with private industry. The second thing is this. You can either grow the government. You heard me say this before. You can either grow the government or you can grow the private industry. one of the appealing things that I've heard, and I work for a private nonprofit, just had an employee quit on me about two weeks prior to coming to session. And one of the reasons that employee quit was because she went to one of our state departments. Pays better, benefits are better, and the pension is better. So the state is competing, and rightly so. The state is going to compete at some level, but we don't want to have it compete in an unfair way. We want to grow the private industry. We don't want to grow the state. So this just brings things more in line to what is existing out there in normal industry. Again, it stair steps it down. It's not a big hit. It doesn't go to 80%. That was my original thought, and it hit the pocketbook way too hard. I don't want to punish our employees. I don't want to arbitrarily hurt them, but I do want to bring things down in line that's more normal. So I would ask you to vote aye on this amendment.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, we've added quite a few dollars to this budget, but let's not balance it on the back of our state employees. You know, I just urge you to resist this amendment. We have a lot of good state employees, and there's no reason to go to this measure. And frankly, I just don't support it.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On against the amendment, just a couple things I want to put in. First of all, pretty much the same thing I said 45 minutes ago, which is I think that this needs to be a broader discussion between the agency and the supervisory people and all. The second thing is when you look at the bottom of the second page, the employee contribution per month, and this is not a necessarily huge thing, but let's not forget the inflationary effect of health insurance that, you know, when we add $23, it'll actually add probably, the total contribution would be maybe $165 rather than $154. And so don't forget the impact of inflation. The third thing is, in the bringers industry, it may be so that people were getting a better pay in the state sector, but we have a lot of openings across the state that we can't fill. The Department of Corrections, for example, has a ton of vacancies because their staff are continually lured away by even working at the big box stores, the energy sector. They can't keep them because the pay is so much lower than what those people can get. Same thing with radio techs through Department of Transportation, people like that. So to draw a conclusion about how attractive our jobs are compared to the private sector based on that particular job field doesn't necessarily go across. So there are a lot of types of jobs that the state hires that we are not having success competing with the private sector, and so those positions are vacant. So those are just the 3 points, and I would vote no.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things on this. One is we've targeted those employees who are paid from general funds. Now, it says proportional in federal funds and other funds appropriated. That's hard to figure out. Why would we target just those employees who are getting mostly general funds? Kind of a disparaging group of target there. The other one is read this closely because it doesn't say just medical benefits. It says health, dental, and life insurance benefits. And there's nothing to go over those. Now let's talk about specifics. If you look at the fact sheet that you have and you look at a family, with this change, they'll pay $1,464 a year more. And I'll use some of our corrections officers as an example. They get $16 an hour. That's $32,000 a year gross. Take taxes out. Take out for what they have to pay for other things. And then take an additional almost $1,500 out of that take-home pay. Is this how you want to treat state employees right now? I don't think so. I really have a problem with this. We keep bringing these up without a lot of actual facts. It's just, hey, they're target. They're here. They're state employees. Let's beat the daylights out of them. On and against this. This is just wrong.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still looking for a way to pay for about the $7.5 million that I cut in the DD providers. So I'm asking if the bringer of this bill would tell me how much money these various areas of cuts are, is that going to give the state in terms of revenue reductions? So if he could answer that question, I'd appreciate it.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The thing that comes to mind when we have this discussion, we've had it in the last several years, is the guys who plow snow past my house at midnight so that people can travel back and forth from the capital city to the northern part of the state. I would guess they're in the $40,000 bracket, and they'd be taking the same kind of hit as an employee that's making $80,000. So I would be more receptive to one of these plans if it was somehow graduated to hit the low-earning employees equally to the higher-earning employees. So not very enthused about it. But it was a good presentation. I appreciated the sheet. It was well illustrated.
Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in support. I'm here to speak on behalf of small business owners, people who work for small business, who are on their very expensive health plans, which I was on. A monthly premium in excess of $1,200 a month for a family of four. And the comparative insurance that the state employees get is $300 that employee pays. That's a huge, huge difference. And we're talking a 1% increase. It's not very much. So let's keep this in perspective. Let's give the voice to those people out there who are struggling back home on these employer plans in the private sector that are ridiculously high. And they're suffering. So when they hear this discussion, they're probably pretty upset that nobody's looking out for those guys. So let's keep that in perspective. 1% is not going to be the end of the world, and it is proportional to no matter if you make $100 a year or $100,000 a year, 1% is 1%. So on and for. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a caution on that last remark. It's a 1% increase in their premiums. It has nothing to do with their pay. It doesn't say it's just 1% out of their pay. It's 1% on the premium. So the correctional officer at our corrections facilities that's making $32,000 a year is going to pay $1,464 more a year. If we have a state manager who maybe makes $100,000, they're going to pay $1,464 more. Maybe they can afford it. I don't know that correction officer can. I really doubt it. And that all of us recently got our W-2s. If that was your annual paycheck, how would you feel if someone said, okay, besides everything else, we're taking another $1,464 out of that? Could you live on it? I don't think so. Well, on and against.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Seeing none, Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mrs. Chairman. Good debate. I appreciate people speaking up. You know, it's interesting. I pay an extra $40 a month. Yeah, I have to do that. That's more than what we're asking here as far as state employees. And by the way, if you think about it, I don't know if any of you have actually looked. Have you looked on the exchange and how much you would actually pay? Good luck. You're not going to pay a $500 deductible like it says on here. You pay a $500 deductible, you're probably looking at around $1,500 to $2,000 a month for individual coverage. You get a $2,000 deductible, maybe $1,500 deductible. You might be hanging around $800, $900, maybe $1,000 on the exchange a month. By the way, that's what we just did when we decided that the employed individuals with disabilities, we said that we're going to kick them onto the exchange and do an 80-20 split there, and they're going to pay $1,000 a month. And yet we're going to go and we're going to prop up government. Again, what do you want to do? Do you want to build government? Do you want to build the private industry? Because it sure sounds to me like we just want to go ahead and maintain the status quo. We're kicking the can down the road, and we're not looking at how. I mean, and as far as someone asked, you know, what kind of reductions are we going to get out of this? I don't know. I mean, you look here at the amendment. And it does talk about line 14, an extra $3 million. But that's for the executive and judicial branch agencies in the act for the purposes of paying the state's contribution. So there's more there that could be had. I don't know what the total number is. And it's not necessarily about the number. It's more so the principle of what is going on in the private industry. Again, I remind the body we've got almost $1 billion in structural deficit and we really haven't cut anything. We've been all day. We haven't really cut anything. We've added millions of dollars to the budget. And yet we're going to continue on. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question.
We are voting on Amendment 43. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please signify by saying no.
No.
The noes have division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Amendment 43 has failed by a vote of 24 to 32. We are now on to Amendment 44, Representative Gray.
I move Amendment 44 to second reading House Bill 1. Chance for us to finish strong here. This is an area where I think there's some room. This would be a 5% reduction in and out of state travel. So that's series 221 and 222. So think conferences that state employees go to either in state or out of state. I hear a lot of anecdotes of this when I do town halls. And this is actually an area I've talked to some appropriations members that was reduced 10% in the last budget. And my understanding is this was not continued. So it's a 5% reduction to have that reduction that occurred last biennium and it didn't lead to all these disasters. So I think this is a good reduction. We got a chance here. We haven't had a reduction all day as was discussed earlier. So in the last two amendments, I don't think I have reductions, but this is a chance for us to have one here. So vote aye on Amendment 44.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks. I'd ask you to vote no, because anecdotally in my community, what I hear from state employees and agency directors is they spend 15 to 20% of their in-state travel budget coming to legislative meetings to meet our whims and our needs to testify in front of us. And so if we're going to be demanding these state employees keep coming and we're having five or six interim meetings around the state each year in as chair of legislative tech process facilities, we're having a lot of discussions on can we keep having meetings? Is it cost effective for us as a legislature to go to various corners of the state? Is it cost effective to be sending all these state agencies to come to all of our meetings and spend 2 or 3 days with us multiple times a year? That's where a lot of these travel funds are going, is to legislative meetings that we request them to be at to help us with our government and our process.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the amendment. You know, as we've had budget reductions in the last three sessions, you know, there's been a lot of this 200 series that's been cut. And the travel's been scrutinized pretty seriously. And so I just urge you to resist this amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I urge you to vote aye. We just heard that 15 to 20% of the agencies are traveling to legislative meetings. All this is looking for is 5%. We're not looking for a deep cut here. This is a pretty simple deal. 5%. 5%, that's it. It's pretty minuscule savings, really, at the end of the day. This is just like Fifi. Vote aye.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, 2 years ago when we started with these cuts, we made some cuts to travel. Now, some time's gone by, they've had the opportunity the agencies have to adjust to those cuts. We've also made quite a few reductions in the number of state employees, and I just think this is an appropriate cut, especially, and I'll echo the words of the sponsor of the amendment. We do need to finish strong with some sort of reduction to this budget, and this is a very reasonable and rational approach to making some dent in this. So I encourage your aye vote.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. you know, it's interesting. We've made a 5% cut and a 10% cut plus a 1% cut, and almost all of those, plus we did the Section 320s, almost all of those ended up in in-state and out-of-state travel, because that's the easiest place to cut. And all of those have continued on and are in their current budgets as are part of the budget reductions that we did, but were $270 million. So it may seem like it's only 5%, but trust me, it is not. And to throw this in at the last minute is just not a good idea, because we really have whittled down this over and over and over again.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree that we do travel too many times here in the legislature to these meetings all around the state. I think they ought to be centralized more than they have been. Plus, I think that the 5% cut is a pretty minimal cut, and we're not going to hit that $7.5 million this way. But it's at least a beginning, so I urge a yes vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Steinmetz? Nope. Representative Beitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I really want to finish strong. This is not where I thought we'd end up by the end of the day. With this big budget we had before us, I thought for sure there'd be some reductions to have. Maybe the C word isn't the best choice of verbiage, so I'll go with reductions. This budget's huge. There's plenty of room for reductions, and we haven't done it. In fact, I think we've added to it somehow today in our infinite wisdom. So please, let's finish strong. Support this. Vote aye. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you. I too, would urge you to resist this. As we get coming down the home stretch and sliding in home, I just think that this is an impact on a very vulnerable population that is not able to defend themselves or not here, and there's nobody to hear their voice, and so I would just ask you to vote. I'd encourage you to vote against this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for a second time? Second time before the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is an area where there's a lot of room. We hear anecdotes all the time about conferences. And so let's get a nice 5% reduction. This will be absorbed, and it'll be a nice way for us to finish really strong. And this is something that these are reductions that have occurred in the past, have not been reversed. And so 5% reduction, pretty simple. We haven't had a reduction all day. Last two amendments don't have reductions, so let's finish strong here. Vote aye on Amendment 44.
We are voting on Amendment 44. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please signify by saying no.
No.
Amendment 44 passes. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Amendment 44 fails. 28 aye, 31 no. As the speaker would say, that was my bad ear. We are on to Amendment 45, Representative Edwards.
I was thinking we were going to be doing this at 6:30 in the morning, and I figured I'd be the only one awake, so I'd be able to run the show and do all the voting. And I figured this one would pass easily. I move Amendment 45 to House Bill 1. What this is a state government manager-employee ratio report. This is to be done by September 4th, 2018, for each agency that receives appropriation and give a report back to the governor and the Joint Appropriations Committee regarding the number of managerial and non-managerial employees currently employed by the agency. And it's to be set at 8-1 where practical. And this will not take effect until June 30th, 2020. So the new governor and the new body will be sitting here to take a look at it. I hope that you will vote aye.
For your first time, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to urge a cautious no on this, and for only one reason. If you look at this, I'm worried about with the term state agency down on line 36 and 37 on page 1 here. It says all agencies, boards, offices, commissions, and departments. Ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, we have a lot of boards and commissions that have one or two people in this commission. They have a lot of maybe even just one or two workers or anything like that. And this is effectively, from what I understand, this is going to try to do is try to bridge some of these boards and commissions together. I'm not quite sure if that was the intent of this, but that's one portion of it. The second thing that I see on this is it has a ratio of 1 to 2. And so when I saw that it has a ratio of 1 to 2, I guess my concern on that is that leaves alone a lot of the 1-to-1 employee manager issues that we have in the state. So maybe a third reading amendment to tighten it up, but as the way it's written right here, I don't know that this actually accomplishes what the bringer is trying to do. I'd urge a no vote. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. This issue is addressed in the efficiency study, and there are certain agencies that will be evaluated for this particular issue, but we've got 94 basically different types of government departments. Most of those are less than 8, something like 60% of them. And so the practicality of imposing this really doesn't make sense. But we are going to address the issue of having too many managerial employees in the efficiency studies. And it varies by the types of particular agencies you're talking about, whether it happens to be the one with all the attorneys, the ones with the folks in the Department of Health, where a third of our budget is versus DFC, and if you have a local office and whether or not how many people you have in that office, you always have to have one managerial person typically on all those small offices around all the states. So as a practical matter, it sounds good, but it's really impractical for implementation.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I am on in support of this amendment, but I'm intrigued by the chairman of Joint Appropriations who said that this work is underway. And I'm wondering if there is an expected report, if we're going to hear about any results of the implementation of the efficiency report that was concluded last fall. And I say as a backup, let's pass amendment number 45 and follow up on those recommendations. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what I just heard here is we have this efficiency bill or something that's going through the process, and we don't need it in this budget bill. And as we've seen a lot of bills that are going through the process right now that are in the budget bill. And let's just be clear about what this is doing. All right, this isn't actually a reduction in funds. It's not changing any kind of appropriations or anything like that. It's summed up in subsection A. No later than September 4, 2018, each state agency that receives an appropriation under this act shall submit a report to the governor and Joint Appropriations Committee regarding. They're submitting a report, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. In regards to the specific information here. That's all they're doing. Vote aye.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the amendment. There is an efficiency bill that started in the other body that was developed out of that efficiency report, and I think we just need to let it take its course and see where it goes. This isn't needed. But thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, moving on to the second time before the sponsor. Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Seeing none. Representative Edwards.
In the bill on line 21 on the first page, and when it's talking about employee to manager ratio, it says unless clearly impractical. So all I have to do is show that it's impractical. And on page 2, line 1 and 2, it says this shall not include the University of Wyoming, or the judicial branch of government. So you have it open to where it will be including the governments, and they can give their reports so the next legislature and the next governor will have it to look at, and it will be up to them to decide what they want to do with it. Vote yes.
With that, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment number 61 to House Bill 1 has failed. 45. Oh, excuse me, 45 has failed.
What's the next number?
We are now on amendment number 61.
Come on. I'm not withdrawing.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment 61 to House Bill. Oh, my goodness. I move second reading amendment number 61 to House Bill 1, and I ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, it's the last one of the night, and I have for you in your box a bottle of booze. Take it out. And for those of you who at this point of the night don't want it, I'll take yours. Okay. What this amendment does is it actually puts in $6 million into the school capital construction account by raising the markup on liquor from 17.6% to 20.6%. So this is, we are what's called a control state. meaning that we have control over spirits and wine, and we mark up that amount before we ship it out. This bottle on it has how much it costs from a wholesaler to it gets to your door. By raising the markup from 17.6 to 20.6, you'll see in the middle of the bottle that markup will raise from $1.45 to $1.69, that the total bottle will raise from $10.30 to $10.44. All right, 14 cents on a 750 milliliter bottle of spirits. I'd say that that's worth it for $6 million in our school capital construction account for the next 2 years. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Loan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a tax. That's all I can say.
Chairman's Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just for the historical record and people listen to this in 50 years, I don't want them to think there was actual alcohol on your desks. So just to clarify that, because this is recorded for all time, it was a handout with a picture and for the people listening at home. And that being said, we should finish strong, raise some revenue.
We should finish strong. Oh, sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thanks.
I recognize you. That's how this works.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I'm an idiot. Mr. Speaker, we should finish strong and keep doing what we've been doing and rejecting these taxes.
Oh, no. Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge a no vote. This has already gone through the process, and we voted no. In our neighboring towns to other states, in particular to the south of us, this actually, believe it or not, could be detrimental to some of our retail stores here in this city, also the city over the hill. I wish this all would have started with just a 1% markup instead of 3%. And maybe someday we can compromise on some of these tax increases and meet somewhere in the middle with the industry. But I would urge you to vote no on this particular one.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess it's fitting that we're ending with booze since we've been spending like drunk sailors all day long. So please vote no. Finish strong.
Representative Blackburn.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. I may take offense to that sailor remark, but I'll let it slide this time. We couldn't get this done in revenue, and we couldn't get it done any other way, and we're trying to get it done here in the budget. And I'm just thinking, we really don't need this extra tax. Thank you very much. Vote no.
Any other members, their first time? Second time? Before the sponsor, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the body and for our good work today. I'm going to ask you to vote aye. $6 million for school CapCon on a 14-cent increase in a bottle of booze.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor of amendment number 61, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Amendment number 61 has failed. Okay. House Bill 1, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 168, Stand Your Ground, 2, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbright, Olson, Pannell, Salazar, Stith, Winters. No, Representative Pelkey. Signed, Representative Kirkbright, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. To whom was referred House Joint Resolution 5, Yellowstone Wildlife Conservation Fee. Respectfully reports, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 8, 150th anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger. Respectfully reports, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass, with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Steinmetz, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 84, Approval of Bridge Design Plans and Specifications. Respectfully reports, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Laux, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 129, Glider Kit Vehicles, Title and Registration. Respectfully reports, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass, with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 181, Wage Garnishment Amendments. Respectfully reports, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Ayer, Gray, Lindholm, and Laux. Noes, Representatives Claussen, Crank, Greer, and Henderson. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
Committee announcements. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask for a re-referral on House Bill 168 to committee number 2. And I also have our committee announcements, if I may.
Please proceed.
Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet in the morning at 7:45 in Jonah H-38 to consider three bills, House Bill 41, Hemp Extract Revisions, House Bill 64, Use of Hemp Extracts, and House Bill 191, Termination of Parental Rights Child Support Obligation. And then we'll be meeting at the noon recess to discuss House Bill 71, Child Custody.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 is going to meet immediately upon adjournment, H-37, to continue our deliberations on House Bill 157, Healthcare Providers Sexual Assault Protections, number 2. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow morning, which is Thursday, at 7:30 a.m. in Jonah H-37. Different room, different time. We're going to hear House Bill 30, School Finance Amendments, House Bill 31, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extensions, House Bill 140, School Finance Amendments, number 4, and House Bill 175, Common College Transcripts.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow morning, Thursday, February 22nd, at 7:30 in H-36 to discuss House Bill 90, Country of Origin Recognition, and House Bill 92, Beef Checkoff Penalty Repeal.
Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7 will not meet tomorrow for lunch, so enjoy your 2 hours off or however long the good majority floor leader gives you.
Any other committee announcements?
Mr. Speaker,
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I didn't have the opportunity to object to House Bill 168 being re-referred, and I'd like to object.
Let me check. I'm not sure that it needs a re-referral. We're discussing that up here. Just pause for a sec. Looking at the bill, the substitute bill, I don't believe there's an appropriation in that bill. And so your objection is well taken, and that bill will be referred to Committee of the Whole on General File. Okay. Any other announcements? Chairman Nicholas.
Mr. Speaker, the joint appropriate, House Appropriations Committee will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to for House Bill 170, House Bill 95, and House Bill 185. And if we have time, we'll catch up with the re-referrals.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A privilege.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning at 8:38. From 6:46 till 7:15, the weekly legislative prayer gathering will gather to hear Mike Lehman from the Catholic Diocese of Wyoming. You're all welcome.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements, privileges? Members, pretty awesome day today. Great work. A lot of close votes. Really, the way it, as I said earlier, it's just really, it's been a real treat to watch you work. So appreciate all your hard work. Keep hydrating, rest up, and we take one day off of the budget now. And just a reminder, any more third reading amendments by 5 p.m. tomorrow. Have your concept in, your amendment idea in by 5 tomorrow for third reading. And then we'll do this all over again on Friday. So great job. That's what we do, and appreciate all your good work. So with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 9:30 a.m. Thursday, February 22nd, 2018.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. The House is adjourned until Thursday, February 22nd at 9:30 a.m.